Also, more tickets to the Kevin and Bean Singles Party, which, of course, is tomorrow night. And just in time for Valentine's Day, Kevin, I believe you have an email you'd like to read as we get into our next subject.
I do. This is from our friend Aisa, who works here at the station. She works in promotion. She's the best. She says, Chuck and I are carpooling home, sitting in traffic right now. We're using our time to wisely brainstorm promotional ideas for the station. We've come to the conclusion that I should have an alternative career as a dominatrix. Chuck says, this is Aisa writing, Chuck says I'd be good because I'm allegedly a bitch.
Allegedly.
I like the idea because I want some douchebag to pay me to effing humiliate and degrade him instead of free like usual. Can we figure out a way to help me get this new career? Can you guys do a segment, Ask a Dominatrix? Love, Aisa. P.S. The safe word is Boston cream pie.
Okay, that's good, important.
It's a lot to say with a gag in your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
Aisa, good morning.
Good morning.
We set this up just for you.
Thank you, guys.
Like you need any instruction.
And Mistress Gemini, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fabulous.
Excellent.
Oops, sorry.
Don't hit the mistress.
I'm going to pay for that later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Mistress Gemini, wow, where do we start? How long have you been in the dominatrix business?
8 years.
8 years.
Okay. How'd you get started in it? Was it like Aisa, where it was just a brainstorm? It just came to you and you thought, hey, that'd be fun?
Actually, no. It was a... I don't know. I met a lady who was a dom, and she opened up her own private studio and asked to train me and some of my friends so that we could work there and, you know, have a little team. And
did you go to her and say, I'm looking for this, or did you say, I think you'd be good at it?
No, I was started hanging out with some certain people, and we started going to clubs, goth clubs, and different events, and met this lady through a mutual friend, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, okay. I was at college at the time, and... you know, I just did it, as fun. And then I graduated.
Right.
And then it was like, okay, well, what do I do now? I could go work, 100 hours for somebody else. Or
kick guys in the balls and get paid for it.
I can work for myself.
That's part of it, right?
The rest is history. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. My favorite sport.
Kickball. Yeah.
But it's I know the guys that come to you get a turn on if they enjoy
so.
Sexually. It's fun for them. But do you enjoy it as well, or is it just a job where you're just going through the motions?
Oh, no. I love it. I'm a lifestyle, so I have personal slaves, too.
So by lifestyle, Dom, you mean that's what you do in your own sexual life as well? That's
yes.
How many personal slaves do you have?
I have one, but I don't have sex with my slaves.
Oh,
say that word?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So they get all the bad and none of the good. When
yes,
they come
that's
to your
right.
House.
Aisa, how many slaves do you have?
30.
And she has sex with all of them.
Yeah, right.
Now, Ralph, beer mug used to be one.
Yeah, I know.
Ralph, you're the one who put us in touch with Mistress Gemini.
Yes.
Is she the one that you went to all those years ago when you taped the piece for Sex You?
No, that was Mistress Akasha was her name.
Ooh, I have the tape. Okay. If you want to hear some of that.
Oh, you went to see a dominatrix?
Yes, you did.
In the just for investigative journalism purposes.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And here it is.
You want it?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, mistress.
Say you want it.
I want it.
Oh. You like that?
Yes.
Yes, what?
It
yes,
sounds
mistress.
So convincing.
Oh,
yeah. Lying through my teeth.
You like that, don't you?
Yes.
You're a good little boy, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, mistress.
How long ago was this?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Did she give you a warm up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We started rolling the tape a little while into it. Yeah.
Yeah. That
I would say, you can tell I'm saying just anything she wants me to say in order to not get it worse.
To not get it worse, and it didn't work.
I was not the kind of guy who ordinarily would like to enjoy that sort of treatment.
No.
But,
no.
Some guys, they get ecstatic about it. They get orgasmic over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know them.
Gemini, were you inclined to be dominant in your relationships prior to taking this on as a profession, or did this world kind of open up to you once you started?
Well, I've always intimidated men and never knew why, and now I do, So I guess I've always
been... You like kicking them in the balls. That's why.
I've always had a very strong, personality and very independent.
How about you?
I think I'm pretty shy and demure.
Yeah.
Oh, liar.
Yeah, that's
right.
No,
that's you.
It's not, I think more of the question is not necessarily, dominating them in my everyday basis, but I can be a little bit.
A little aggressive.
Yeah,
a little too fast, too aggressive in the bedroom for my own good, I think. So scared them off.
Do you have any questions for her before we take questions from the listeners?
My question is, to some extent, is it more of a, are you personally gaining, sexual pleasure from it, or is it, or is it just like a job in every scenario?
You know, I don't get any sexual pleasure. First of all, let's read. You know, I already said I don't do that, with, especially with clients.
And most dominatrix do not. Right?
No, they
there's
don't.
No, no sexual contact.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no nudity.
You're going to kick me in the balls and not have sex with me?
That's right. And you love me for it.
Kidding me?
That's the standard operational
but
procedure.
But why would a guy do that then?
Because it's not about sex. It's mental. It's cerebral. And
but that's like going to the hooker for the conversation.
No, no, no. They need more right. than that. It's you know, there's a lot of...
Yeah, but I thought that was included.
No, no.
Wow.
Sorry.
It's an emotional, mental experience.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this is just an impression I've gotten wrongly through what I've seen of the dominatrix trade on TV and movies, but many of the people who come to you, it's because they're so powerful and have so much responsibility in their real lives that they like not having to think and make up their own decisions on their own. Is that
some
part of
them
it?
Do. Yes, a lot of lawyers and doctors. Yeah.
Lawyers and doctors.
Who feel freed by giving up that control and submitting to someone else's will.
Yeah, or, you know, not just a high-powered businessman, you know, in their family life, they have to be in control, too, and so they need a little release, and so, you know, so they'll come in for that.
It's completely legal what you do, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no sex.
And Aisha, you know, if she's serious about being interested in getting into it, is it the type of thing you can, a woman could make a living pretty well being a dominatrix?
Yes, you can, but... you know, supply and demand, it's very oversaturated right now, especially here in Los Angeles.
Oh, it is. There's too many dominatrixes.
There's way too many dominatrixes for the clients. And then you have to sort of establish a reputation, and it takes a couple years, you know, to get that.
Do drive-bys and stuff like the rappers when they fight over turf?
You throw a riding crop at each other?
Wait, speaking of riding crop, what are the clothes? What are the...
All right. We need to take a break, but we'll be back. Aisha, very, very excited about this.
Shut up.
We're going to do Ask a Dominatrix. We'll take your calls as well, 1-800-520-106.
Dominatrix. Dominatrix.
Ask a dominatrix.
Dominatrix.
Ask a dominatrix.
Hey, you try to rhyme dominatrix.
Falco lives.
It's the latest in a long line of Ask-as on the Kevin Abid Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Ask a dominatrix at 1-800-520-1067. Mistress Gemini in the studio. Good morning, Gemini.
Good morning.
Also, our friend Aisha, who works here hard at the promotions department at KRock.com. In fact, if you go to the singles party tomorrow night, enjoy it. It's because of Aisha and the hard work that she and her staff have put together. Here's reading from Mistress Gemini's website, and then we'll get to your calls. I am the goddess you dream about, the woman you long to dedicate your whole existence to. The moment you walk through my door and gaze upon my superior beauty, you will be humbled immediately and brought to your knees in quivering anticipation.
Aisha's putting her arms in your leg.
She's cheering.
You will relinquish control with a hungering passion, yearning to be subjected to my whims of sadistic torments or endless teasing. And it goes on and on and on. And I can't read it anymore because I need a moment.
All right. I think B means some what they call CBT.
What's that?
Which we can't really say.
Oh, no. Yes, he does. If he had all of those items, he would.
I think B would enjoy some CBT. Genital torture, I guess you'd call that.
Yes, you would.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Johnny in Ontario on line 6 first. And I think this is going to dovetail nicely into what Aisha's question was before the break in terms of the clothing and the props. Good morning, Johnny. You're on Ask a Dominatrix on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hello.
What is your favorite tool when you dominate a guy?
Favorite tool?
Yes.
A Makita power drill?
That's hard. It's got to
be
right
Makita,
there,
though, right?
Yeah, well, 1/8 bit, usually.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, that's so hard because I have so many...
gets asked for the most? Or I guess they don't ask, do they?
Actually, I do. I do.
Oh, do.
I do have a little application to because everybody has different things that they like.
What's the most? What do you use the most?
I would say
baseball bat.
Oh no!
You know,
sorry, Johnny.
A flogger, a crop, a single tail.
Okay, so
paddles,
a whip.
A whip, yeah.
Some kind of whip.
Bear trap?
Basic.
Bear trap.
Now there's one I have.
Wow, I didn't think of that. They walk in and they get caught in it.
There you go.
Thank you for the call.
A flogger's like a whip with a bunch of leather sort of tassels on the end of it, right?
Yes, yes.
What do you wear, Gemini?
Lots of leather, rubber, High heels, boots.
Heels.
A lot of black.
A lot of black, yes.
Yeah. Aisa already dresses all in black anyway.
So she's got yeah, no kidding.
Halfway there. Now, Aisa, we're going to go through some calls, but if you have any questions in between, feel free.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Janet in Los Angeles. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, Kevin, Bean, Lisa, and especially the mistress.
Yes.
Hello, Janet.
Hi. I was wondering, in your private life, do you ever reverse the roles? Like, do you ever, you know, get a dominatrix and, you know...
You're the submissive? Is that what they call them?
Dominated.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not submissive. No.
That's a switch, right? Someone who goes back and forth?
Yes. Yeah. And I actually did start off a switch when I was still at college, learning about my own sexuality, and I thought I'd make more money, actually, but no, you know, the submissives don't want to see, you know that their mistress is, you know, crawling around kissing somebody else's feet. And after about the fifth or sixth session, as I'm looking at the boot, I'm like, you know, this isn't really doing it for me anymore.
You and me both, by the way.
I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. So. And then my business tripled, you know, it was funny, so, yeah.
All right, let's go to Rob in Los Angeles. Good morning, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. How's everything going?
Good. Ask a dominatrix.
I want to know, what's the worst that you've ever hurt somebody? Like, has anybody been, like, hospitalized or something like that?
I try not to put you in the hospital, but...
it's bad for business.
Yeah, it's bad for business. But I've beaten people pretty bad, you know, bloody.
Really?
Bruised, yeah.
Bloody?
Bloody, yeah.
Is there a line that you will not cross, Gemini?
Yes, I won't do scat.
Yeah, well, that's a good line.
That's about it.
That's a good line. Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of pain, I mean, you know, like, for instance, you hear the warnings about the people who are into the asphyxiation, for instance,
yes,
that sort of thing,
yes,
which can be very dangerous and can be deadly. I mean, would you go to that close to the line?
I have blacked people out, choked people out, basically. That's what
really?
They want. And
you don't let them tap?
Sometimes,
tap out.
You know, like, they're out for a while.
They want to be choked out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to be very careful about that. A lot of, you know, mistresses won't play with that. It's, you know.
Well, it's very extreme.
You better know what you're doing.
How many people have you killed? Zero?
Today?
Zero. Well,
what about your personal safety? Have you ever, I mean, do you screen these people? Or?
Well, as much as you can, a lot of it is instinctual because you can't, you know, you can never really screen somebody until they get through the door. And I've been very lucky. I do know have mistresses that have been stalked and... Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Is there anything contractual involved? What's liability like? I mean, I know guys go into it wanting to be hurt, but every once in a while there has to be some guy who gets, you know, jilted or feels scorned about the fact that you hurt him.
No, maybe not enough if I did it.
Slave contracts at all? I know some dominatrix will have a guy actually sign a piece of paper or something, right?
No, I don't.
I want to be kicked in the balls.
You know,
I need that piece of tape, Mike, when you get a chance. As a matter of fact. But let me go back to the safety thing that Aisa was asking about, because you are, although powerful and dominating, you're very tiny, and it seems like you get a guy who's all excited or something that he might try to, you know, control the situation, take advantage of the situation, and take advantage of you. You don't have security around or somebody just outside the door or anything like that?
No.
You have a stun gun?
No.
It's really not in the nature of a submissive, though, to try to take over,
you know,
over,
they're
right?
submissive. They want to come in and relinquish control, so we don't, you know, unless, you know, they have some serious psychological problems that, you know, they might switch if you did something that they don't like.
Aisa, do you have a stun gun?
Yes, I do.
Yes, okay.
Actually.
All right, let me ask Aisa one question before we break, and we are going to extend. This is such a fascinating topic. We're getting so many great calls. We want to invite you to call in with your question for Mistress Gemini, and her website is MistressGemini.com,
1-800-520-1067.
This weekly. Yeah. Here's my question for you, Aisa, because you have such a great sense of humor and enjoy life so much. Uh-huh. Wouldn't you just crack up in some of the scenarios that we've discussed?
About, yes.
You know, if you were the dominatrix and you were saying something that was kind of outrageous and crazy, wouldn't you just start laughing?
Well, actually, I was thinking about it, thinking, you know, halfway through, I'd probably stop and go, are you serious? You're in a Lammy costume.
Okay. Yeah. You have too good a sense of humor, I think. Plus, not that you do, but you couldn't smoke pot 24 hours a day and be a mistress, right? I said not that you do.
Oh.
Yeah, that might be a drawback, Ace. You want to be in control of your faculties. Wait. I don't know if I want to go to a stoned amateur dominatrix.
Want to get some food?
A slave, go get me some ding-dongs.
Dominatrix, dominatrix. Dominatrix, dominatrix, dominatrix. Dominatrix, dominatrix, dominatrix. Oh, 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 dominatrix.
Ask a dominatrix.
Ask a dominatrix.
You know, it's very hard to say dominatrix over and over and over again.
Sounds like it.
It's very difficult.
Sounds like it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Ask a dominatrix is what's on the table today at 1-800-520-1067. Mistress Gemini sitting around with us here this morning. Fascinating, fascinating story. Kevin and I are crestfallen. We're heartbroken. Yeah. The guys who go to you don't get to have sex with you. I mean, that really does.
And it's always seemed to me like, okay, they're going to put up with all that, but then at least there's a payoff.
Well, why would you go just to put up with something? You might as well love the act itself, right?
I don't
just
know.
Waiting for the end of
Listen,
something.
I don't have that in me. I don't know.
But if you love it, Ralph, it seems like to me, and I think Kevin as well, that it would be foreplay. That's what's confusing about it to us.
But it's the role. Your role is not, she's not there to please you. You're there
that's
to please.
Right. I'm the unobtainable woman.
Well, that's not okay.
It is for some.
Our friend Aisa is here in the studio, too, works in the K-Rock Promotions Department. And it was her idea to get Ask a Dominatrix on the air because she's thinking about getting into the field. And I think some
I
of these questions that people are calling in are very useful to you, Aisa.
Senator Ryder from Arizona.
Yes. I have a question. Does this segment mean that Aisa can beat us when we walk down the hallway and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I think it does.
Oh, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. I'll give you a free lesson.
I really love this woman.
Vicky is on line 3 in Los Angeles. It's Ask a Dominatrix on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Vicky, good morning. You're on the air with Mistress Gemini. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Actually, I just had a question. I was wondering if she has any female clients, Mistress Gemini.
Very rarely get any female clients. They don't really have to pay.
Oh, I see how it works
now.
Wow.
They're married.
Wow, that's strong.
Do you usually go... Are you, nicer with them? Do you beat them less?
CBT. I tend to be a little softer with the girls. You know, I mean, I play a lot in my private life. So, and I do a lot of videos. So, I work with a lot of girls.
You said your slave was female.
No, he's male.
Oh, he's male, okay. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that bought you the Gucci purse?
Yes.
You made him buy a Gucci purse?
I want a slave.
I need a slave as well.
Thank you for the call,
Vicky. You can have one.
Let's bring me weed.
Let's go to Melody in Moreno Valley, kind of on the same topic. Melody, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I was... good morning, by the way.
Hi.
I was curious, have you ever had couples or married couples?
I've played with a few couples, yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the exception, though? Is it the exception that you have couples?
Yeah, that's
Do you dominate them both, or is there usually...
I did dominate them both. But sometimes you'll get one where, you'll both dominate him. So,
yeah. Melody, is that your idea, is just to have her hurt your husband and you laugh?
No.
Do it again. I hate that guy.
I mean, do they sit there or what? Can they do that too as well?
Well, I haven't really played with too many couples, so, but I've... Yeah, sometimes they do.
All right. Thank you for the call.
What about Vince in, it says Woodlands. I can't imagine that's right, is it?
Maybe Woodland Hills.
It's probably Woodland Hills. But
that's what I would hope. Yeah. Vince, good morning. You're on there with Mistress Gemini. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Vince.
Good morning, Mrs. Gemini. Yeah, Woodland Hills.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is, my wife is actually friends with Aisa.
Uh-oh.
Yvette, actually... I'm glad he's calling because the whole conversation started with his wife, Yvette.
Ah.
She was we were doing a photo session, and she's a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started it. But really, the whole core is that we started talking about the shoes.
The shoes.
So, yeah.
All about the shoes.
So, is that right? Explain that to me. I don't know what that means.
Well,
the costume's a big part of
what
you do, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You're in a lot of ways, you're like an actress.
Yes, yeah.
Because you're role-playing.
Yes, a lot of role-playing. Yeah.
Let's play some shit. That's the official theme song. Let's see. Let's
Vince's
go to
his question. By the way, that he didn't get to was Sorry. His wife wants to be a dominatrix,
okay,
and he wants to know if he should be worried about that. Is that?
Yes.
I guess if one partner starts to be interested in this arena and the other isn't, I guess you're going to have trouble just like with any other kind of sexual incompatibility.
Yes, unless you know for certain that the other one wants it.
Aisa, is he kind of a girly man?
No.
All right, he'd be fine then.
He's afraid.
No, she's gorgeous and he's hot. I mean, they'd be great. But
Ozzy in Linwood, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Ozzy.
Ask a dominatrix.
I got a question. I wanted to kind of find out how much money can you make out of all this.
What's
the low? What's the high?
What's the low?
A year, would you guess?
Well, let's see.
I bet it really varies from girl to girl,
too.
Yeah,
the load's probably zero.
Yeah.
It varies from girl to girl.
What do you guess an average would be?
You know, I mean, I don't know what to say. I make six figures.
Nice!
Oh, wow.
Okay,
the
reason, okay,
the reason
I quit.
I'm asking,
but I have a website, too.
My name is Gemini.
Okay, wait a minute. The reason you're asking is what, Ozzy?
Because my daughter's name is Gemini. So I'm figuring how much money is she going to be at.
Oh, you're creepy, Ozzy. Oh,
what a sick bastard. All right, good. Hey,
come
thanks
and
for
see
calling.
Me. I'll take care of you. Wow.
What do we say? Why take one call?
One call too many.
Do you have your own dungeon, Gemini?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
But some girls have to work out of someone else's
dungeon, you know, because it's a lot of money to buy all the equipment and toys. So
how do people find you?
Advertising, you know, through the website, the web.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
there's
a magazine.
Word of mouth. LA Weekly and stuff like that? No, you'd be in the back of the...
Well, LA Weekly is actually really expensive to advertise in. So,
is it?
Yeah, it's very expensive. It's like $600 for like this little thing like that. But you'll get a lot of traffic from it, you know,
yeah,
because
yes.
it is a lot of it's distribution well.
Right.
For that.
If I were to come over to your dungeon, would it look like, what's the movie that you just saw? Hostel. Would it look like that?
Yeah.
Like jail cells and
yeah,
chairs.
Yeah, that
and
was a little, you know, dirty and, you know, but some...
Saws,
some,
chainsaws.
No.
Knives.
Yeah, maybe actually, just to scare you. Yeah, I have knives.
Great
I have
for
lots
the blood.
Of knives.
What
yeah.
about cleanliness? I mean...
You know, you have to clean everything. You know, I'm very fastidious about hygiene and...
cleanliness is next to goddessless.
Goddessless, there you go.
All right, we're almost out of time, Gemini. What would your advice be to Aisa... And to others listening who think, hey, that sounds like something I'd really enjoy, something I'd really like to get into. It seems like it'd be so hard to get started.
You know, there's lots of reading material, lots of books. Can I give my friend a plug?
Sure, sure, okay. Sure.
She wrote a book called How to Be a Dominant Diva. If you go to dominantdiva.com, mm-hmm. and she wrote this really good book for novices and...
We had her on.
I think
the show.
We had her as a guest, actually.
Mrs. Georgia.
Yeah. The Dominant Diva.
Yeah. Yeah, you had her on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
She's
been a while.
She's a good friend of mine. And she gave lots of different stories to play with.
Yes.
And it was a really good initiation to, you know, to help you ease you into it.
Do you ever give classes? Do you ever teach? If someone wanted to book your time, would you be able to?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you want to pay me my tribute, I can.
Third grade class or something, you know? Bring him in. Just guest speaker.
In.
Career day.
Show and tell. All right. Well, this has been very educational
Thank
and
you
informative.
Guys.
Aisa, do you feel like we've taken a good first step for you, my dear?
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I'm actually going to start out with you all.
Okay, now.
That's what I was afraid of.
Now, tomorrow night, are you coming to the singles party?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you can't hit people.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't hit people.
You
can't
want
hit
it.
Kevin,
you want it.
I do want it.
He wants some CBT when you get around to it. All right, and mistressgemini.com is the site if you'd like to find out more about our guest. It's awesome that you came in. We very much
Thank
enjoyed
you.
You being here for Ask a Dominatrix, Gemini.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Aisa.
Thank you.
Hands
guys.
Off. Religion in the studios of the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Craig, Brett, Brooks in the studio with us. Welcome this morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good day.
Tell us about the new Maps of Hell. You got a new...
Yeah, Greg and I recorded a bunch of new songs acoustically as demos for the next record.
Okay.
And then we had the idea, hey, you know, a lot of times when our songs become well-known, they become well-known electrically, we'll mm-hmm. then, you know, do acoustic versions for the fans. And we thought... You know, maybe a lot of the fans don't realize that sometimes we write these songs acoustically, you know. So we thought about the idea of making an acoustic EP, and then we put some classics on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting that together with New Maps of Hell.
How do you guys write songs? Is it acoustically for the most part, or do you... I don't know how you...
Well,
I know you and Brett share the duties, but...
Yeah, but we basically write separately and then come together and sort of amalgamate our ideas that we came up with separately. And Brett has a lot of acoustic ideas. I mean, he's more the studio guru also, so
right.
I kind of defer to him on that. But I have a nice room at home that with all my acoustic instruments, and that's where a lot of the melodies and the chords come together.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll even write a tune on piano. So
yeah.
Like to see that.
Come on over.
Come over anytime is not that exciting.
Now, speaking of rooms in your homes, that's kind of the new way the music industry is working. Is I mean, it used to be you had to get signed by a record label, then you had to sell tens of millions of CDs, or else you would.
Sure.
Now it's all being done at home.
Yeah, yeah, home studios,
Pro Tools, home studios, whatever you got.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Kids across America are able to make really, you know, studio quality recordings in their home, and I think what we're seeing is just an explosion of creativity in the music.
Is it going to be hard to make your way in that kind of world
to
with
cut through
thousands of bands and people out there and not as much promotion or whatever? Is it going to be possible to be a Bad Religion in the future?
I think so. You know, it was really hard to make your way in the old days because you were up against kind of the old gatekeepers, you know, and now everything's broken wide open and the gates are torn down. So, you know,
but everyone's rushing. Yeah. So then,
that's
what do you
true.
Do? I mean, you're gonna
there's a very low signal to noise ratio. Granted, however, you know, teenagers have a lot of time, and I think the exceptional things do stand out. You know, I mean, I'm listening to lots of good music all the time, and there's, you know, there's kind of a culture of recommendation out there right now. Kids go on the blogs and the social networks, and they tell each other what they've discovered. And when something's really great, it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a much quicker process than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool.
What do you think about the whole new way that music is going now with giving it away for free? I mean, Radiohead gave it away for what you would pay.
Information wants to be free, and that's how it's going to be, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
There's no way to go back to selling it, really. I mean, is that pretty much everyone has to come to the realization that they're just going to have to start giving that away for free and making money somewhere else?
Or? There's got to be there's got to be a balance. There's no way to going back to how it used to be, though, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But the balance, you're going to have to be able to get some money for the music. Or you're
well,
not
an example is what Trent Reznor just brilliantly did with his new record, where, you know, he gave it away for free if you wanted it in this way. But if you were a true collector, you could pay some money and get something very unique and special. Or
right.
if you had a medium budget, then you could do this and you could get a
that's
disc.
True. So, I think I got it for $5. I think that was the medium. One you could get for free, one you could spend $5.
Yeah.
And then one's like a collector's edition type thing.
Right. So what you do is you kind of provide things for the collectors, and you provide things for the casual listeners, and you provide a few different levels there. And I think that's where it's going. I think that was very, very smart. But it will never be what it used to be, which was really an economy of scarcity, where a few big companies decided what releases were coming out that Tuesday, and that's
right.
all you had a choice of.
Right.
You know? And, hey, this Tuesday, there's 15 new releases in North America. Here's what they are. It's like, you know what? How about 15,000 new releases?
Yeah.
You know?
And then
probably what came out this week.
Yeah, probably.
That's
yeah.
probably true. Do you have to add video and stuff, too? Do you guys try to do some of that stuff, behind-the-scenes video type stuff?
Definitely. The new DVD that's coming out has two really nice pieces. One is the making of the acoustic EP, which shows a bit of the writing process that Greg and I do. And also, it has an hour-long, never-before-released DVD of a live show with a multi-microphone mix and multi-camera shoot.
Oh, very cool.
That was done at the House of Blues in Vegas, was it?
Yeah.
Is it a lot more work now, though? I mean, a lot more work for a band to put something out because you really do have to step up the output. It's not the same songs or whatever.
You'd have to ask. I mean, it's more of a effort on the record company's part. I mean, a band, if you're going to be an active band, you've got to be playing, you've got to be touring. You've got
to do
be,
that stuff anyway.
Anyway, and now that everybody and their brother has a camera, it's not much more work for the band, but to package it, to put it all together and to make it presentable, I think, is more of a behind-the-scenes effort. And I think, the packages have to be a little slicker now.
That's fantastic. And you, Greg, are still teaching at UCLA? Or
today is a very big day.
Yes, please tell me.
My students who are listening, some of which shouldn't be listening because they should be studying.
For a final?
Today is the final of LS1. The end of the winter quarter at UCLA. I want to say hi to all my students.
But wouldn't it be cool?
To work.
But wouldn't it be cool if you went in today and you said, "Look, I'm just going to give you all A's."
Yeah,
that would be really.
Don't even worry about
go
coming.
Enjoy spring break.
Why do you have to give
right?
these ideas?
No, but
now?
You should. I mean, that's cool.
Now it's all over the place.
Right? We were talking about you earlier because
how easy that would be.
It seems like it would be. It seems like it would be easy enough for professors and colleges to. Well, to get chicks, I got to be honest. But you're a lead singer of a band. Come on.
Yeah, that turns them off at UCLA.
We asked you. Is that right? That doesn't work for them? That's not good? We were asking you last time about the students who came in and sat down and didn't really know your dual life.
A lot of them don't. They're pre-med students, for by and large. But, you know, it's funny because it's an ominous lecture hall. There's 300 students,
300.
And it's very difficult to really for any of them to raise their hand and to speak out. And it's even more difficult to say, hey, let's talk about music
in front
of that. Yeah. So it doesn't come up, but it's sometimes in consultation hours it comes up. But
after school or whatever.
Yeah.
But by the end of the first week, they all know, right?
Good question.
I imagine.
They
come
don't
on.
Share it with me.
Well, there's one person that knows, and then they all, you know,
yeah,
text each
course.
Other. And
spreads.
Isn't that the guy
absolutely.
From Bad Religion? No way, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
you know.
I think it's true, but they're very interested in getting good grades.
So. I'm sure they are. Yeah. But today you're going to let them off the hook. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean, it's a special day.
It is a special day. The end of the quarter.
Right. So let him go.
I don't feel that he's going
either.
That direction.
I don't think I'm making any progress here.
Greg, are you a strict teacher?
No, I'm not.
That's
strict.
A great question.
I'm actually.
Do people act up in your class and you say, stop
whip?
It?
No, I don't compete.
Do they? You don't?
I don't even get angry when a cell phone goes off, which happens at least once every lecture.
I'm sure, yeah. And
so kids don't think of you as mean Mr. Graffin?
Master Graffin?
No, they don't.
But they have to screw up some, don't they? I mean, I would.
But they're college students.
So
they're
what?
Not,
here's
know,
the thing.
I was the worst when I was in college.
At this level, you know, a lot of them, it's their TAs that they have more interaction with.
Oh,
the lecturer,
you're
the
not
professor
in touch.
Is,
you're not in touch with them.
Exactly.
I see. So, you have your minions
so
do it.
Exactly.
I see.
So the discipline That's is on a different down. Level, yeah.
You just tell them to hit, and they hit.
At this level, I just dispense with the information.
I see.
And then their TAs or their counselors deal with it.
Are you considered difficult?
Gotcha.
Good
are
question.
They like? Are they
you
freaking out
I
today?
I don't honestly read my teacher evaluations. So
you have no idea if you're doing a good job.
Are you really an instructor, UCLA? Is that really happening? You're just making
just
it up.
It's kind of like our music reviews. You
yeah,
know?
You can't
it's,
read your reviews.
You can't, right?
It's just too hurtful. If someone's angry, they're having a bad quarter, and they'll take it out on you. So
yeah.
I don't really read them, but I get good reviews one-on-one. People say they've learned a lot.
You have to get some kind of a feeling, though, how you are compared with the other professors.
Yeah, I think I'm challenging because I offer a pretty unconventional view of biology. So I bring a little of the rebellion and Bad Religion to that worldview of biology. Because there are a lot of controversies. People think biology is a solid science.
Right.
There's tons of controversy. There's a lot of things that aren't as well established as we're led to believe. And I like to teach that. And by the way, I'm not talking about teaching the controversy of intelligent design. That's not a controversy.
Right.
That's
thank you and amen.
Mumbo jumbo. So that's not the controversy.
So you're saying your students can get off the hook today. That's what you're saying.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I happened to notice the chairs and the microphones and the guitars and the snare drum. You guys are going to perform live? What do you got for us today?
We'd like to introduce to you the first installment of Infected on Acoustic Guitar.
Fantastic.
Hold your applause till after the movement. Now here I go, hope I don't break down. I won't take anything, don't give me anything. I don't want to exist, I can't persist. Please stop before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing, let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one, please talk about no one, someone. Anyone, you and me have a disease. You affect me, you infect me. I'm afflicted, you're addicted. You and me I'm on the edge, dead against the wall. I'm so distracted,
I love to strike you. Here's my confession. You learned your lesson. Stop me before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one. Please talk about no one. Someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me. You infect me. I'm afflicted. You're addicted. You and me. You and me. You're clear as a heavy lead curtain. Wanna drill you just like the ocean, but I'm running out. I can work it out. Now I'm running out. Don't be mad about it, baby.
Time we're out in public, people come up to me and they say, Kevin, Bean, how do you do those investigative reports? They're so information.
Call more foreign countries.
They're so information. Call more foreign countries.
I'm retouched strong.
Does Eli Manning approach you outside?
Call
is that what
more happened? Foreign countries. They are our
listen,
fans demand
listen,
that.
God damn it.
They demand that.
These
what?
Are always horrible, pointless exercises right. in radio tedium.
Let me.
This is what this is.
Let me explain to you what this
no,
story is.
Let me explain to you
and
what
then,
this is.
And then you tell us how we can do anything except call Chile. Okay. The teens call their public orgies panseo. On a typical Friday afternoon in the Chilean capital of Santiago, hundreds gather in an urban park for a few hours of sexual experimentation.
Yay!
When the party is over, no contact information is exchanged. They just go, they have sex in public at the park, they have a huge orgy, and then they leave. And this is becoming more commonplace in Chile.
I'm all for that.
Okay,
don't get me wrong. I never have any problem with any of the stories that spur you down this wrong-headed path.
How do we not make this call?
The stories are always interesting.
Right.
However, your version of what you call investigative journalism usually involves calling a 7-Eleven or a guy who works the counter at the Holiday Inn in Santiago and says, do you know about the sexy teens who are having the orgies? Do, sir, the orgies, do you know about them?
How dare you?
Click. That's usually how the investigative journalism goes.
I believe it was the last time we tried this. We got somebody who knew the story, talked to us. Remember that?
We did.
That was
right.
A first in the history
okay,
of the
so
Kevin and
Bean
Show.
Last, now in the last second. One, we're 100%.
So... yeah.
Okay.
So you're a guy who gets up to bat 1,000 times.
Yes, but I just hit a home run. How dare you?
And the rest of the time, you struck out. You
sure.
didn't even get a piece of the ball.
That's
you
correct.
Just three.
Right.
Let's call Santiago, Chile, and find out more information about the Ponceo because it sounds like fun. One 15-year-old girl with pink hair and a pierced chin, Ralph, named Natalia, says, it's all about having fun. This time in the park, I had 7 partners. That's what's going on with the youth
look,
in Chile.
I'm all for the swinger lifestyle. I'm
okay.
just not for you calling Chile and being bad. That's what I'm not for.
Mike has now pushed 75 numbers. I don't know.
And nothing has happened.
I don't know where he's calling.
Do I have to turn on the technical aspects of this failure that happens every time?
You don't understand.
If you'd like to make a phone call.
we're going to get it. So we're dialing it now. Here we go.
There we go.
Okay.
Santiago, Chile now.
Yeah. Oficina Victor Lola.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Hi, do you speak English?
Hello?
Do you speak English, ma'am?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, come on. That wasn't our
That's
fault, though,
what
Ralph.
I'm
talking
We made
about.
The call. That's not our fault.
It is your fault because you made the
All right,
call.
That was the Grand
How
Hyatt.
Did you not see the cause and effect?
Why? That was the Grand Hyatt. Let's try the Ritz-Carlton.
Why would someone at a hotel hang up when you say, do you speak English? If I wanted to make reservations there, that's a perfectly natural question.
Thank
Maybe
you, Lisa.
Maybe she doesn't speak English and she can't understand what you're asking
no
her.
No one in that hotel? Come on.
Every time this happens, it's the goddamn same result,
not,
Lisa.
Not last time.
How is it there? How is it the people's
time.
Fault in the country?
Not last time
Do
is what
you
I'm
speak
saying.
Okay, say, who could predict that?
Say, habla inglés.
Oh, good. Good.
Habla inglés. Banco Popular. How are you backing their play on this one?
Well,
how are
they
you standing by
last
them?
Time.
They have.
Once. It worked once out of a thousand times.
But it was the last time, so now we're
yes,
on a roll.
Exactly.
We're hot, Ralph. You don't understand. You don't walk away from a hot table, okay?
It was
okay?
the only time.
Hello?
It wasn't the last time.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hola.
Is this Chile? Is this the country of Chile?
I hear someone. I hear
her. Yeah, there's definitely something going on.
Shut up, Ralph. Hello? This...
Hold on.
That's some pretty good hold
okay,
music.
We're on hold.
Good.
That's something.
No,
nice
we're not on hold.
Man.
We're inside a music box.
But someone was there. Hello?
Hola?
Hello?
Mike, man. Did you dial one of the numbers that they
yes!
vetted before the bit? Okay.
Hello?
I don't know
Please
why
speak
I
to us, sir.
Hola.
Ralph is going to quit the show unless somebody says hello.
Someone's there, though. You guys
they
can hear
are,
right?
Yeah.
I may go with them.
All right. Dial it again. Listen, this
yeah,
is not working.
By all means.
Try it one more time.
Take another 7 minutes of dialing. to get
all right, this is the last
freaking
time.
Ballerina on top of a music box.
This is the last time,
weird.
Ralph.
They're having orgies in the park, Ralph. That's the part you're missing.
I get
okay.
the story.
So let's call and find out more.
People
you are
know.
Truly the abused spouse who does not leave the house after being beaten with an inch of
How
rug.
Dare
Maybe
you?
This time he won't come home drunk and will love me. That's what you're the wife saying.
Last time was so much magic.
It was just, last time was the only time
right.
it ever worked.
But it's like saying you never win in Vegas right after you hit a jackpot. You can't convince somebody of that right after they win. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
Thank
exactly.
you, Lisa.
I'm
All
glad right. we're doing
Mike
this.
Mike looks All like right, he's putting
guys.
It on hold. Here we go.
I
Let's try
again.
It one more time. What are you dialing, Mike?
Hang on.
Trying the Ritz-Carlton, Santiago.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. You Hello. Speak English, sir.
Yes, I do.
Yes, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock in Los Angeles. How are you?
Awesome hearing you guys.
Awesome hearing us, guys. What do you mean?
So not Spanish.
Oh, because I always hear you guys on the web on your webcast.
You don't.
Yeah, every morning.
What are the chances of this?
Are you kidding?
This is a setup.
It is. Hey,
No, it's not.
Is it the King of Mexico?
Here's what's funny. No, no. Here's what I want to tell you guys is funny. This guy, Victor Lobos, sent us an email saying, hey, I live in Chile, and I listen to the show, and I can find out about the story. So we set him up. So this was a setup from the beginning, and it took us 15 minutes to get a hold of him.
Couldn't get through.
First, a woman hung up on us. Then we had hold music. Then there was someone there. We couldn't hear who it was. And it was a setup ahead of time.
You guys blow.
That's how good we are.
But now.
All right, listen. We're almost out of time. Victor, tell us about the Ponceo. We read about it in Newsweek this week. Apparently very popular in your city, in your country. Teenage Georgie's in the park. What's going on, dude?
Well, there's this thing going about teenage tribes going on.
Tribes?
Is that like gangs?
Like urban tribes, they call it.
Okay.
Themselves. And some of them are called Pokemons.
Pokemons?
Pokemon,
they put the poke in
yeah.
Pokemons. I got that, all right.
No.
And they got all this look, you know, with their hairstyles and clothes, and, well, they're going nuts.
Wait a minute. They have hairstyles and clothes?
Are you saying that they try to dress up like Pokemon?
No, not like... Exactly like the Pokemons. They're more like a
emo,
kind of like a gothic or emo
God.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but how are they having sex in public? That must be against the law in your country.
It is. But some crazy things are going on. Like right in front of my office, we always watch a couple of lesbian schoolgirls go at it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on! You're just saying that.
I need to move to Santiago. Kidding.
You sit on a throne of lies. That you would not even be answering the phone if that was going on in front of your window, Victor.
I'll send you some pictures, man.
Okay, Victor, first we need pictures. Then we need you to approach them and get us their phone numbers.
I'm not sure they'll speak English, but I'll try to translate.
Don't stop, Kevin.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it.
We can get right through any kind of language barrier.
Look, I believed that the story was true because I don't think Newsweek would print something crazy like this if it weren't true. This didn't come out of the Inquirer. Right? It's Newsweek. But you're telling me that you've seen with your own eyes, you've seen these kids doing this, Victor?
Yeah, not actual facts, but pretty much close to it.
Making out everything else.
Wow. How about that? And what are the adults saying? What are the parents saying in Santiago? I mean, are they trying to stop it, or is it they just shrug their shoulders and go, well, there's nothing you can do. They're just kids.
I think that's just the way things are going right now. They have their own parties, and they're during the daytime, actually.
During the daytime?
When the parents are at work.
Wow. That's great. Fantastic. I got to move to Chile.
you guys got to come down here. We got a lot of wine and a lot of
women?
Countryside to go watch.
wine, Victor. And countryside. That's what Kevin and Bean are all about. They love their wine.
We were hoping the second one would be some woman, females, girls, something like that.
All right, Victor, before we hang up, how did you happen to end up listening to the Kevin and Bean show on KROQ.com? Why do you even know about us?
About 7 years ago, I was trying to look for a radio that had rock music on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we got to it. And everybody here at the firm listens to you guys in the morning because here with the time change, we start listening to you guys around 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's pretty good.
Nice.
Wow.
Beautiful. All right. Well, listen, you're awesome to talk to us. You hang on. We're going to put you on with our producer Alex and see if we can send you some T-shirts or something. All right.
Awesome. And speak to the super whore.
All right, Victor. Have a great day, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Two for two, Ralph. We'll take your apology now.
Oh, I didn't know.
We'll take your apology. Sorry, Kevin and Bean. I was wrong.
No. How well did the first call at the hotel? How well did that go?
It was a rough.
That's standard operational procedure.
Just because a team comes out in the first quarter and plays poorly doesn't mean they don't have time to bring it back around.
You cannot shoot free throws. That's your problem.
here's the email, and they're pouring in by the truckload. Well, Kevin and Bean, it's been a long time coming, but I guess it's official. It's finally started with Yasmin, former Miss Double December 2006, giving it up voluntarily to Dave the King of Mexico. The apocalypse has finally begun.
Yeah,
that's what we're all saying. Here's an email just captioned "The Abomination." Guys, Dave and Yasmin are going to stay together forever because of one simple reason. Who would ever want to go after Dave?
Aww.
Unless she goes for the full identity change, he's the last guy she'll ever pull. Oh. So I think you can tell the listeners have a lot of opinions on this new power couple, Dasmin.
First of all, we're not going to call him Dasmin.
Yeah.
Second of all, how dare she treat our Dave like that?
What?
Man, you don't say who's ever going to want to go after Dave. I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, but I'm just saying someone would.
Yeah, you know why? Wrecked.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
Nice.
Now, Dave had sex with Miss Double D 2006 twice over the holidays, and we're still, it's been, four days now. We're still having trouble getting our head around it.
And I think they're doing it again tonight.
What?
That's what she said on the phone this morning.
She said you guys were getting together for your birthday, which I guess was yesterday. Tonight is the night that she's going to give you her gift.
Nice. So.
Yeah.
And Dave, unfortunately, now has been, he's had a lot of confidence put into him about his game.
Yep.
Which he calls affectionately.
What, the no game game?
The no game game.
Uh-huh.
I'm the guy without game.
I don't like the King's new attitude, by the way, which is just, I'm a stud, which, by the way, he is, obviously, because he caught the ass beam. But, I mean, he barely shows up for work anymore. He doesn't even care about the job. He barely talks to us. He used to just be such a humble young Mexican, and now look at him.
Come on.
Well, he spent some time in the studio yesterday, and I was happy to see this because we had a listener call up and ask Dave to do another song. And he's done a song called Bringin' Mexi Back. And we're proud to preview it for you now here on the world famous K-Rock. Bringing Mexi Back.
I'm bringing Mexi back. Somehow I got Yasmin into the sack. Even though she has tattoos on her back. She gave me some, cause I'm a Mac. Tell them about your game. Don't need game, got fingerless gloves. Don't need game, got an emo sweater. Don't need game, I can barely speak English.
Barely speak it.
I'm king of Mexico. You know I bang all them hoes. When they need pee-pee, they know where to go. They go to king of Mexico. Tell them who's the man. Don't need game, I can't say wolf. Don't need game, got plenty of foreskin. Don't need game, just like the Clippers. Hey, it's King of Mexico. Kevin and Bean, they think I don't got game. But the hoes, they keep coming back for more. That's right. Go get yourself a pair of fingerless gloves. And
wasn't
we out.
That awesome? Please agree with me that that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Wasn't it awesome?
It was totally awesome.
It was the most awesome thing ever. Hug me.
The world famous K-Rock presents Kevin and Bean's Breakfast. Breakfast with 9 inch nails.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Trent Reznor. How about that?
That's a nice way to get started, huh? That's a lot of noise for a few people. Morning, Trent Reznor. How are you?
I'm good.
How often do you get a chance to do a show, 6 feet from the fans?
It's a rare but coveted occasion when we can do this.
Are you one of those guys who likes to look out and see the faces of people, or are you one of those guys that kind of would rather not see anybody?
No, it's weird. We were just talking about this backstage. We all were kind of a little bit nervous because when it's some people are right in your face, it's right. Like your space is invaded. We can hide behind fog and
video
lights.
Screens that come down in front of you.
Exactly,
and stuff like
yeah.
That.
And when you're this close, you can tell whether what you're doing on stage is connecting with the people, too.
Well, they can tell that it's all on tape. That's the catch.
This is what I love. This happened when we did Breakfast with Metallica last year, is for some reason it's impossible to pass a piece of white tape on the floor. It's just, it's like a force field. If they wanted to cross that line and rip you apart, they couldn't do it. It's amazing. What kind of stuff do you take with you on the road so that you feel like you've got a little piece of home with you, even though you're actually in a different city every night? I met Josie. I met your dog.
Sometimes you take a dog out with you.
I mean, you take books, movies, furniture, other stuff that you feel comfortable around?
You know, it was bring a bunch of movies and just try to waste time. And then when we had Saul Williams out with us,
right.
I've started working on his record with him, and he's a really inspiring guy to be around, and he'll make you feel bad. He doesn't intentionally do this, but every time you look at him, he's got his notebook open, or he's reading something for
smart
people.
You feel like you should be doing more?
Well, you're trying to, you know, catch the end of 24 or something, right. And then you feel like an idiot. And so him being around has really kind of sparked through guilt.
What is it like for a band like yours who you've had hits for, you know, Head Like a Hole, for example. You've played how many
times? One.
Closer. I mean, you've played these songs, too. But you know when you go to a show that a lot of the people out there really respond to certain songs. Does it get too repetitious? Because there are a lot of bands, Radiohead for one, that sometimes won't play those songs again because they're so tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and it's one that I think about quite a bit. You know, when you're putting together what you're going to play for a tour, and this time out, we hadn't been out for a long time, and I was also concerned about relevance and wondering if there was anybody out there still that really was interested, and I'm not saying that to
you
be
You found
humble.
Out the answer was yes?
No, I'm very grateful to find that people are, you know, I'm not saying that to try to garner sympathy here, but...
All right, you're great, we know it. We got it. Hey, look at me, I'm great. No, I know what you're saying. People have to still be interested in what it is you have to say if you're going to go back out there.
There was a long time in between records for a number of reasons, and that wasn't any kind of career move. Right. It was really just dealing with the situation at hand and trying to make the best of it. So when this cycle came up of putting this record out and touring, I didn't take for granted that we would be exactly where we were when Closer came
right.
out. You know? And so to answer the question, I try to make it something that is interesting for us as a band to play and feels relevant. And we'll start the process by writing down a bunch of songs that we kind of feel might be cool, playing them, see how they sound. And if it doesn't feel real and vital, then it gets crossed off the list. But there is a sense of, I'm very aware that people are coming out to see the show.
Right.
They have certain expectations. I mean, we've all gone to see bands that play the whole new album.
Right.
And you're bummed out because, you know, as a musician, it's fun to play the new record because that right. might be where you are right now. But I think there's a kind of, it might be a compromise to say this, but I think there is a responsibility to the audience to give them a show that's the best it can be.
You write on piano, guitar, sometimes just a melody will pop in your head. How's it work?
It kind of changes up. You know, like Pretty Hate Machine, I really didn't know what I was doing at all. So it was just, here's a drum beat and the last thing that kind of got put in was the melody in the song because there was some cool sounds or whatever.
Right.
Downward Spiral was an exercise in a collage of noise, really, and then a song kind of came out at the end. The Fragile was a whole other situation of just kind of experimenting and seeing what happens. And then With Teeth was very formal, trying to write at a piano because that's what I know the best, thinking about melody first and then trying to put sounds into it, trying to arrange it.
Never met anybody who changes the way they write songs every time. That seems like it would be a little difficult.
Well, it's not like, you know, it's not like a process where you go, now I know what I'm doing. For me, I'm just stumbling into things and finding things that work and a lot of things that don't work. And mm-hmm. I feel it's important to change the process so that you don't keep writing the same song over and over again.
This is Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails. You're listening to on the World Famous K-Rock. The band is here. They're going to be performing again. Do we have Lightning? Are you in the audience? Do you have some
cool real questions from real people?
Who's first and what's your question?
Hey, Trent. EJ from Pico Rivera. And Bauhaus is opening up for you on this leg of the tour. And I just wanted to know if they had any influence on you musically and how what your feelings are on having them on a tour with you.
Yeah, Bauhaus is coming out. I feel honored that they're doing it. You know, a lot of times, especially nowadays, when it seems like most music sucks to me.
Yeah.
it's not just me. Okay. No, you try to put a bill together to go on a tour, and you're always stuck in this kind of dilemma of who might sell tickets and who might be a cool band to take out, and rarely is it the same column.
Right.
You know? So, Bauhaus, I'd heard they might be interested, and it was kind of weird because they've been a big influence to me, you know. And it was a similar situation when David Bowie asked me to tour with him 10 years ago, where at the time we were selling more tickets than he was, but there's no way on earth that,
right,
you know. So it's a matter of, I mean, with Bauhaus, I'm thrilled they could come out. I think it's going to make a cool bill, and it's just a respectful kind of, hopefully cool.
Probably a mutual admiration society, you know? He probably feels the same way about you and your music. Like, hey, they're one of the good ones. Let's
go. Can't speak for him.
You're one of the people who I've seen in the press who has, and there are millions of them, just so energized by how easy computers have made it to create music. I mean, it's so amazing what a guy with a laptop can do now versus what may have taken in a room full of equipment a couple of years ago.
Well, the thing is, it's just a tool, you know? That's all it is. And people that I've always been kind of irritated by people that are fearful of things like that. It's just a tool. It's what you do with it. I mean, computers came out. Drum machines came out. Drummers are not out of work, and
right,
music didn't get better necessarily, you know? And there's, there's software where you can record everything now, but it does. And it's cool to have put that tool in the hands of people. Something like iMovie, where anyone can edit film now.
Right.
I think it's cool that has trickled down to the everyman can afford those tools and use them. And
it doesn't make all their projects good.
Certainly not.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to make a special request when we come back. Perhaps you guys could do a Hurt.
We might be able to whip that one
out. Oh, look at that.
Just before we get the question, is that maybe the song that most people expect the most when they come to see you play? Or hope you're going to do the most?
I'm not really the right guy to ask that question.
You're never in the audience.
Yeah,
true.
I've never seen the light show. I don't know. You know.
Oh, Nine Inch Nails is good, dude. You should check them out.
Really?
Seriously, check them out. They're cool. All right, so a quick break. Why don't we hear Hurt when we come back right after this? Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails and the world famous K-Rock.
K-Rock, Kevin, Bean, and Nine Inch Nails. Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails. K-R-O-Q.
Kevin and Bean here. We're back broadcasting from a super secret location. It's Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails on the world famous K-Rock.
My sweetest friend.
beneath the stains of time. The feeling disappears. You are someone else. I am still right here.
If I forget to say this later, by the way, you've been at the top of the list of people we've wanted to do a morning show breakfast with. So thank you very much for being here. This is just
my pleasure.
What a treat. What a treat this is. Want to go back out to the crowd? Who's next for Trent Reznor?
Hi. I emailed them to see if I can get an opportunity to thank you for writing music and your lyrics, because it really helped me prior to and during the time I was getting my diagnosis for muscular dystrophy. I think you saved my life in a way.
Well,
thank you.
It's very sweet, Angelique. You're very kind.
I very much appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much.
Trent, do you remember what the earliest music was that moved you like that, where you felt like, oh my God, this is speaking directly to me, and it may save my life, because rock and roll is the only thing that makes sense at this period of my existence?
No, I think all through growing up, you know, I started to realize music was something that I played music, but what really got me into doing what I do now was things that steered it away from, saying, being a classical pianist and more into rock music. And I remember, like,
thank God
for me, the Pink Floyd The Wall album.
Yeah,
you know, I was lonely, bummed out kid in Pennsylvania wondering how he wound up there, and that seemed like I could completely relate to, you know, these old English guys from the other side of the world. But it totally spoke to me.
You ever shave your eyebrows off because of the movie?
Thought about it.
No, it's a good look.
You know, I have moments in my life where there was a concert at the perfect time when I was listening, yeah. And they still stand out to me. And one of them was when you were at the what used to be called the Palace. I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that, and you did Head Like a Hole. And I can remember every second visually in my mind. And do you have?
It's cool to hear that. It's cool to hear what you said. That you know, those are the moments. Like when I hear songs, I can think back. I know exactly where I was when I heard it, or that was in the backseat of my mom's car when I was eight. And so, how did I store that? You know, it's a very visual kind of thing for me, and it's soundtrack to good times, bad times. This song reminds me of riding in a car, and it's a good summer day. And that was the worst breakup I've ever had. And you know, music got me through all that stuff, and to feel that. You know, things I've done might be connecting to some other people. That's the greatest feeling in the world.
Well, that's one of the sweet things for us working for K-Rock, is because you're working on a station where the music does matter to people, where it's not just, hey, for the most part, flavor of the month, you'll never hear from this guy again. For the most part, there's a lot of songs on there that really touch people, and that's one of the things that's great about working there, you know, great about having the opportunities to do this. Who's the final question there?
Hi, my name is Tiffany. I'm from Hollywood.
I have a question for you. As an artist, writing in general is a really good way, an outlet for expressing yourself. And I was just wondering, out of your entire catalog of songs, which one means the most to you, and why?
Well, that old easy question.
Yeah.
You know, I think it moves around a bit. You know, overall, generally, I'd say Hurt is right up there at the top of the list. You know, I've sang that live hundreds of times, and there's never a time that goes by that I'm not teleported back into a place that came from, right. You know. And that was also one of the easiest experiences of writing I ever had, you know. I think you can really get bogged down in trying to make something perfect and overthink things, and it leads me, anyway, down a path of agony.
Right.
And that song just felt like, I remember just being a few minutes of just writing things down, and it just felt right, and then I felt guilty that,
wasn't hard.
Did I not really? Is someone else's song? Because I can't, you know, exactly. I don't deserve this one.
How cool was this, by the way?
It is Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails, the Kevin and Bean Show, the World Famous K-Rock.
Good times. Thanks again, Trent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trent.
In the event that anyone's still listening after that song, you're going to be glad you did, because Cooking with Coolio, ladies and gentlemen, is the internet sensation that everyone's talking about right now. Now, Coolio was a very famous rapper when, Mike? When was his heyday back with the Gangster's Paradise song?
95, 96.
Okay. All right, so it's been a while maybe since Coolio has been in the limelight.
Yeah.
And now he's back online teaching us how to cook.
Not you, how to cook. It's hard to describe the show without you having seen it, but it is worth going to YouTube and searching Cooking with Coolio, because in the beginning they jump in like a minivan and then they drive out to a college campus and then they kidnap this guy and then they're going to show him how to cook, and then they bring him back and they wrap his head in duct tape and he looks like a Mexican wrestler. And then there's two girls behind him that are hitting him in the head with baguettes, and he's got a gay assistant.
Wow.
And he teaches him how to cook.
Sounds like you really learned a lot.
How much backstory do I need from a guy teaching me how to boil pasta? I don't get that.
I don't know, but that's the thought behind the first one, is that he's going to go kidnap a college kid and show him how to cook. It's the worst thing I've ever heard and seen, and yet it's spectacular because it is Coolio.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Coolio's Cafe. I am the Ghetto Gourmet, and this is my AC Jerez. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to teach your ass how to cook. Are you ready? Sucka.
No.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
Sucka. I don't think you can be street and have a cooking show.
He's cooking with attitude, dude. Come on.
They don't really mix to me. Now, Dreds is his gay assistant, and he's talking back and forth to Dreds about, you know, making dinner for a girl and just exactly what result you would like that to have.
Have you ever been, like, late and you had to make something real quick?
Quick.
And your girlfriend is one of them salad-eating bitches?
Salad-eating bitches.
Tell you what. I'm going to teach you how to make a salad that'll get them panties right off.
Yes.
So his assistant, his guy behind him, what's his name?
Dreds.
Dreds. He's like the guys who stand behind Farrakhan, who just mimic everything that he says.
Yes.
Go on. Tell him. That guy.
So he's going to show you how to make a salad that'll take their panties off.
Wow.
All right. So far, I'm in.
Okay. Now Coolio starts talking about ingredients. Dreds, the gay assistant, is the chanter in the background.
Balsamic vinegar. Olive oil. Mozzarella.
Tomatoes.
It's time to cook, biatch.
Yeah, see, I don't know that you can work biatch into cooking either.
By the way, how about those exotic ingredients for the salad, too? No one's ever thought of putting that combination together.
And by the way, the gay assistant Dreds is repeating the ingredients to the guy that has the duct tape on his head. As if,
all right, great.
For some reason, the guy that was standing between Coolio and his gay assistant couldn't hear Coolio say it, but he can't hear the gay assistant say it. I don't think I understand that. So then Coolio wants you to know exactly what you're getting, what kind of quality you're getting.
It's all about presentation, baby. Remember, look good, taste good, smell good, is good, Shaka Zulu.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure what Shaka Zulu is. He does shout that repeatedly throughout the show.
It's a cooking term, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, if you're a really good cook.
Is it really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
He had us going for a minute there, Lisa.
So what kind of salad do you like? What kind of salad do you not like?
You drizzle it around. Now, you don't want to get too much oil on it, because an oily salad ain't
okay.
How about that?
It ain't
okay.
Right, oily salad. Basil. Why does he like basil?
Everybody don't like basil, but I like it because it's green, you know. Red, white, and green. You know, colors of the Mexican flag. It just make it look good now.
Okay. So
that's
he likes
what I look for in my ingredients.
He likes basil because it makes it look good. It makes it look like the Mexican flag. And then he shouts again,
Shaka Zulu, motherfucker!
Okay, I don't know what that means, where it comes from, why he's yelling
at
it.
At least now I know why this show's online and not on television, by the way.
Now he's seasoning a steak, and see, he knows his crowd, so when he describes to you what he holds his seasonings in, you'll understand.
Okay, after you rub that in, then you take your dime bag of seasoning salt right here.
So can I get that on any street corner?
Half a dime bag of pepper.
Pepper?
See, because they're in dime bags and half right. dime bags. That's how he measures.
That's funny.
How does Coolio maintain his enthusiasm for making this dish? He seems like he's really into it. Like, if I'm Coolio and I used to be all that,
yeah.
I am hating life right now as yeah. I realize I'm doing an internet cooking show, but he seems to really be into
you
it.
You would fall on your knife, wouldn't you? I mean, that just
absolutely.
This seems horrible.
Yeah, so you get out of show business before you do an internet cooking show.
So now the Mexican wrestler dude with the duct tape head is standing in between Coolio and gay assistant, and now Coolio is starting to talk about the mushrooms, but the gay assistant isn't sure the guy in the duct tape can hear, so he repeats as well and gets very, very excited about the mushrooms.
Now, Josh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some mushrooms. I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
Ooh, I like
mushrooms. And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put another one in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put one on the side yeah. and one on that side.
What?
Okay, now.
Oh, my God.
Are we still talking about cooking? Because I'm confused about what's going on here.
Listeners are starting to email asking if this is for real or if this
yes.
is a real. This is a real show.
Search Cooking with Coolio on YouTube.
All right.
You won't believe okay. it. It's worth watching because of the dude with the duct tape on his
awesome.
Head.
Awesome.
For no other reason.
I'm going to put a whole half a cup of garlic in that mother. See what I did? Did you see that?
That's a lot of garlic.
And guess what I'm going to do next? The hot sauce is for color.
The hot sauce is not for taste, mind you, but color.
All right.
Coolio doesn't have a lot of descriptions at his beck and call, yeah. so this is how he describes food.
God damn. That tastes better than your mama's tits.
Oh!
He did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So now, again, I want you to describe for me if we're still talking about cooking or when he starts talking about olive oil, if there's something else going on.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this olive oil and I'm going to put it in that pan. One. Teaspoon of olive oil. Wait a minute, not one, but we're going to take 2 teaspoons of olive oil. Hold up, and then don't stop. We're going to take 3 teaspoons of olive oil, and we're going to put it in that pan. And guess what? We're going to shake it like James Brown.
On a good foot. On a good foot. On a good foot.
I am ready to vote for this man for president.
Still talking about cooking, are we?
Sort of.
I don't think so. So then at the end of the show, I had to cut out so much because it's impossible to put it all on there. But at the end of the show, Coolio asks for video responses. You know how you do that on YouTube? You can
right.
videotape yourself and upload it. Well, he's giving away a hell of a prize to get people to send in video responses.
You want to get this bell pepper? All you got to do is send in a video response or comment, and the person that sends the best video response or comment will get an autographed bell pepper from Coolio.
I don't know why, but he's going to send you an autographed bell pepper.
Is this a one-time only deal, or is this a series?
I don't know.
Oh,
I hope Coolio. It's a series.
Here's what I do know.
On a good foot. On a good foot. On a good foot.
All right, let's talk about Doto Cribs. Because Doto started emailing us a while back and said that he had a gun, and that
yes.
scared us. He's yeah. our little friend with the effed up eye. He travels a lot, international man of mystery, and has a bit of a complex about people out to get him, a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So when we heard he had a gun and we heard he was talking about going to a shooting range and all this kind of stuff, we said, there's no possible way you could have a gun that's a permit, right? No way. Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? So we decided to go over to his house and look for the gun, just to be safe. Psycho Mike?
Yep.
You can pick it up from here. Tell us about Doto Cribs.
Lightning Scorsese, who is excellent at making these little videos, said, we are going to go over there and we're going to investigate Doto's house because we need to find out what's going on with him. Because he's really secretive. He's a real secretive guy in general. He doesn't like to answer any questions about his personal life at all.
Yeah, and anytime he emails us, it brings up more questions than answers. We go, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? Well,
right.
What do you mean by that?
Right, exactly. So we went over there with the cameras, and we pretty much did like they do on MTV Cribs. We went in there and explored the house and got, you know, the behind the scenes of Doto and his life and filmed it.
And, so it was Beverly Hills? Is that where it was?
Gosh, I'm going to say Malibu.
Like...
Wait, no, now that I think about it, Westminster.
Westminster,
yeah, okay. So we get to Doto's house in Westminster, and we arrive at the door, and this is how Doto welcomes us.
Welcome to my house, my kitchen, my living room, and my family room.
and I want to make it in show business.
Yes.
No. Right out of the
yes.
gate.
Well, he gave you the exhaustive tour, and I think that's good.
That was not edited. That was right out of the gate. Thank you, Doe.
I need to make it in show business.
So, as with every good episode of Cribs on MTV, not only do you see the house, you got to see the whips. You got to see the rides.
Sure.
You know, people need to travel in style. So, I said, Doto, tell me about your car.
This is your car, Doe?
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about it.
2003.
Now...
We don't have time for that kind of detail.
Just the exhaustive detail that he went into. I know I'm a little long-winded, but my God, he's just wearing me out.
He wouldn't shut up about it.
So we go. You would think Doto, he's always traveling. I mean, he's constantly calling. I'm in Singapore. I'm in Tokyo. I'm in, you know, Hong Kong.
And that's because his dad travels, right, for his business?
I didn't want to get into that. There was just too much info to get in. So I wanted to concentrate on the big stuff. But with a guy who travels that much and goes to such exotic places, you would think his house would be filled with antiquities.
Sure,
and
buy stuff everywhere
and
you go.
Just amazing things to look at. It was worse than a dorm room. I mean, it was so barren and totally undecorated.
Is it because he's never there? You know, he seems to be home like 2 weeks a year.
I don't know why, but it almost looked like it was as if you were trying not to. You just bought the house a week ago.
I mean, is it just like a couch and a table with a lamp in the living room?
No, it's not like bachelor pad barren. I mean, it's like minimalist. Like I'm going out of my way to make sure nothing gets on my walls. I own no lamps.
There's no personal touches
right,
in the place.
Exactly.
Interesting.
It looked like a Motel 6.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
So I said, Doe, give me a. Give me some insight on your decorating style.
Doto, this seems to be the most highly decorated room in the house.
Well, I wouldn't consider it to be highly decorated. I would consider it to be moderate decorated.
Where do you pick up most of the stuff that I see in this room?
Hong Kong, why?
I was just curious.
Yeah.
I was thinking about maybe updating my apartment and, you know,
you should have
some tips from the Doe.
You should have a party, man.
I should have a party.
Yeah.
I should have a party. That's a good point.
You should have a party, man.
Should have a party, man.
What, people bring furniture?
Doto was a king of the relevant points.
He seems to be very much on the defensive. Like, he knows, like he's hiding something, or I don't know, he's Hong Kong, why?
Yeah.
I don't think he has a lot of guests.
Right.
And I definitely think that he is hiding something. I mean, he's definitely got something going on in his life that he doesn't want a lot of people to know about.
A lot of that.
And everywhere we went, like Ask Lightning, man, it was just this really uncomfortable vibe, and he definitely didn't want us there, but we were going to make sure that we got, you know, the full behind the scenes.
Sure.
He's got this huge TV. I mean, this monstrous, like, flat screen TV and, like, 18 VCRs and DVD players hooked up to it. Like, all
really?
These. So I'm like, hey, Doe, you know, you can bring the ladies home. This is the one thing you have to show off is your cool entertainment center. What do you get to get the ladies going? What do you put on?
Would you guess he's ever had a lady in there?
No.
What are some of your favorites to really get the ladies loose and going?
Maybe some Playboy television.
Oh, go for the straight for the softcore, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah, attaboy. You're all business.
I need some babes, too.
While he's putting in the order.
Yeah. He wants you to provide him with the babes as well.
Well, he was upset that I didn't arrive with the babes.
Yeah.
This was the part of the investigation where it got really scary. I'm not kidding. It got really scary. I start just randomly going through stuff in his house. Okay, I'm going through every drawer, every cupboard.
Does he know that you're looking for the gun at this point?
I don't think so. I think
you didn't remember that.
I think he just thought we wanted to look through his stuff, and he hated that. He was evidently really defensive, like I said, and very private. So I started just opening cupboards and stuff. That was flipping him out. So when I got to this cupboard that was about, you know, 10, 15 feet off the ground, I had to kind of like step on the counter to get to it. There was like an air conditioning vent, and that was all that was inside this cupboard.
Right.
And just for like a curiosity's sake, I reach behind, and there's a bag, this generic bag, this kind of like a Save-On shopping bag.
It was hidden behind?
And I feel like some tools inside it, and I open it up, and there's two knives in there. Two random knives.
Now, blood on them?
Behind the vent.
I've already looked through his silverware. He has his knives and steak knives and a cutlery in one drawer. But there's two random knives in a bag behind an air conditioning vent well up off the ground.
Well, that seems bad.
And it seems like evidence.
It seems like I kind of need to know what's up with that, right?
Yeah.
No one gives more inadequate explanations for stuff than Doto.
We've got some eggs. What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? You mind if we go through these?
No, look, no.
Why would you be hiding something in a nondescript bag? What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? It's just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
It's not mine.
Like, that doesn't work, right?
Who else lives there?
That's not a good enough explanation when it comes to knives.
No!
He didn't say when you pulled him out, oh, what's that? He was like, no.
Right.
Yeah.
And what then, are these?
Oh,
what
it's
are these?
Not mine.
These look like knives. It's not.
It's not.
What does that mean?
Okay, must be a mirage. I'm dreaming this up.
So you didn't get any more info out of him about the knives?
No, and he was giving me the look of, let's move on, or you guys are getting kicked out right now. So I said, look, for the sake of the bit, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't see that.
Wow.
I didn't have a lot of regrets about doing what I did there. This was one of them. I'm in Doto's bedroom. Doto's bedroom, okay? He's a man. He lives by himself. Well, he lives with his sister, but he doesn't have a wife or a girlfriend that sleeps with him in his bedroom.
Right.
But I discover 300 pair of women's panties neatly folded right next to his bed in a drawer.
In his bedroom?
Yeah.
And there, it wasn't his sister's bedroom.
No, this was his bedroom, and...
Is he one of those guys that goes out and breaks into houses and steals panties or something?
I would not be surprised.
300 pair?
I don't know. But that many pair of panties neatly tucked away in a drawer right next to your bed. Again, I need some explanation.
Does he wear panties?
We'll see.
Joe?
What?
This is your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What do you mean I don't know what the hell you're talking about?
Again, that's a little bit insufficient as far as giving me the details behind
something.
And you
pulled out a pair of panties, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was clear what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even understand these words that are coming out of your mouth. What does that mean?
This is our version of there's no goat
in
this room.
What the hell?
Joe? What? This is your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Hey! I am Doto's panty head.
Mike puts a pair of panties on his face, on his head.
Nice.
I am Doto's panty head. I wear panties.
Hey!
Doto's panty.
Now, Joe is trying to reach over and pull Mike off the bed and get the panties off his head.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want his mom's panties treated like that. Or
do we
something.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Doto's panties. Doto's mama's panties on my face.
Did you get any kind of testing done over the weekend?
No, but my face was all itchy. It could have just been like placebo effect.
Yeah, sure.
But I was driving home, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I should have put the crotch region of panties on my face, like random panties.
Jeez.
Doto, not a big fan of homosexuality.
Yeah, he's very uncomfortable with that. So Mike, of course, who's very, very comfortable with homosexuality, pushes his buttons a bit.
You know, speaking of parties... You say you and I have a little private party right now.
Come on, Mike.
What?
No private parties.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you there's a pretty cool party in your pants.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Mike's got his arm around Doto, and Doto is sweating. He does not like that at all.
Do you figure if you push him this way, he'll finally produce the gun?
Here's the gun! Get out! I don't know. It's just... Every answer is, I don't know what you're talking about,
right.
And no, that's not. I mean, like blatant, like ridiculous explanations for stuff. It's like the guy who has his wife walk in on him with another woman. She's like, how can you do this? And he's like, I'm not cheating. Well, what do you mean you're not? I'm looking at you with a girl. Explain this to me.
It makes your head explode.
So I just had to do whatever I could to try to get something out of Doto. So I force him to explain to us what his shower is like. Like, give us the tour of his shower, which is the size of a broom closet.
I was going to say, it's maybe for a midget.
Yeah.
I know, it's really tiny.
And Doto's a big guy. Doto's like, you know, 6 foot five, no, 6 foot three plus. And he's got this teeny little shower. So it explained to us this shower, Doto. And my point the whole time was trying to maybe, you know, maybe think that maybe he could share a shower time with me. You know what I'm saying? Share a little shower time. He doesn't like that so much.
So you're in the shower right now, Doto.
I'm in the shower, Mike.
You know, I had a long day. I was thinking about taking a shower. Do you mind if I...
Shut up, Mike.
Do you mind if I just go ahead and get in with you?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Watch me, buddy. Come on, lube me up. Doto's about reached his limit by this point. I mean, he's really mad. I've worn his mother's panties on my face. I've rubbed his leg while asked for a private pant party.
Yeah.
I've now taken my clothes off and gotten in the shower with
him. You took your clothes
off? Yeah, I started to undress.
He did not like that either. He's not happy.
So I figure we don't have long here. This interview's about over. So I had to ask while I was there, Doe, why is it that you smell the way you do? Because for those of you who are not lucky enough to have met Doto, If you've ever been
or
to
kissed
Africa,
him on the mouth.
Or kissed him on the mouth like I had.
Like Mike did.
If you've ever been to Africa, you know when you get off the plane, as soon as you get off the plane, Africa has a smell. It has its own smell. And that's what Doto's breath smells like all the time.
Oh.
And it's like emanating from his body and stuff. So I had to figure out what was going on with Doto and the odor.
Now, Doto, I got to admit, most people reserve the smell of feces for their bathrooms and their toilets. You happen to have it emanating out of every pore of your body. Why is that?
About what?
I'm just curious. Like, what'd you eat for breakfast?
What? Fruits? Why?
Would that be the rare and cherished crap?
Shut the f*** up, Mike.
So
he's dead serious. He gets angry at that, and that was the end of it, and he kicked us out. And this is Doto screaming at Lightning and I as we were pushed into the street.
Get the f*** out of here! Boy, I'll call the cops!
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'll show them the knives.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll expose everything that's inside your house, you villain.
So what about the gun?
Never found it.
I don't think Doto has
a gun. Do you think it exists?
If it does, then he does the best job ever of hiding it. And
we know he's not a gun
hider. You looked
everywhere
he might have hidden.
I flipped his mattress over. I looked through every cupboard, every drawer.
Wow.
So either that or he keeps it at his parents' house, as many estates that he has here throughout Southern California.
Oh, I hope he doesn't have a gun.
But all I know is that after being in Doto's house and going through every nook and cranny, I still have more questions than I did before I went in.
Well, he was just denying stuff to your face that was clearly just right there.
Yeah, it's the work of a true enigma.
And then he opened up the door and shouted,
I drank your milkshake!
Yes.
I want you to know that was the 40th take of that line. Like, he's like, listen to me. I drink your milkshake. Can you say those words in that order? I'm losing my milkshake!
All right, listen, the video is up if you'd like to see Doto's cribs.
I hear the video is even better.
The video is spectacular. You go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean, click on video,
okay.
And you can watch Psycho Mike and Lightning in Doto's house. And when the police come to us and say, did you guys think anything might be up? We're going to have to go, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be those people that didn't see it coming. Oh, really? You're having a party? You're going to have some kind of entertainment? Yeah, Coldplay.
Yeah, they're going to stop. You know, knock out some tunes.
That's about it.
Come by if you want, you know. Cruise by.
Either way.
Kicking things off about 7.
It'd be about 4 of us.
Yeah.
The fewer, the better. Wouldn't it be awesome if there's just 4 of you sitting on a couch
yes.
in cold places?
Chris, could you just play some dinner music for us? Just keep things just low. Just some instrumental stuff. We're trying to have a conversation here. Thanks so much.
All right. Let's talk about the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
We have a link up there. Ralph, tell us what this link is.
This is one of my favorite stories ever. This comes from Gawker.com. And what had happened was someone tipped off Gawker.com and said, you have to check out Craigslist in New York City. There's a douchebag on there in the personal section trying to find a girl. Mm-hmm. And his Craigslist posting was, Mr. Right is, I-Z, here waiting on you, just the letter U. And when you open it up, it was just one sentence. Listen, if you really want to get to know me, just send me a note. That was it.
Okay.
And then he followed it with 30 pictures in the ad.
30 pictures.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pictures like this. Him wearing those great
Kanye.
Classic 80s sunglasses with the Venetian blinds on them.
He's wearing the Kanye West glasses.
Holding like a bunch of 20s in his hand to the camera like he's a playa.
I make it rain.
Yeah. Here looking like Dave the King of Mexico here holding some more 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a faded Joker t-shirt from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Here he's just flipping his finger to the camera because he's a badass.
Because that's how he rolls.
Yeah. Here he is just holding up. Some more 20s to the
you
camera.
You can't even see me behind my 20s.
It's like he's got like $80 in his hand. He's showing the camera like he's Floyd Mayweather Jr. Anyway,
now, Lisa, does that work for the ladies if they just see pictures of dudes holding a bunch of 20s? Is that attractive
there's
at all?
There's really not a woman I know that
thinks
that's hot.
Oh, I bet there's some.
It's funny how Gawker says that he's included for some reason what appears to be some unrelated wedding photographs that they can't even find him in. 30 pictures in this ad. So someone tips Gawker off. They take the photos off Craigslist and they publish them on Gawker, because
awesome.
Gawker's one of these websites just likes to, you know,
snarky, F with people. Basically.
Yeah, F with people. Well, he finds out, the guy, Mr. Right, in the photos.
The dude with the money?
Finds out.
Yeah.
And he calls the Gawker people and starts threatening them with all kinds of violence and legal action and what have you, saying you can't use those photos.
These are his photos that, I mean, he posted them on Craigslist,
which
is public and available for anybody to see, right?
These photos are mine's.
He
reminds them, yeah. And they remind him, look, it's a public forum. Craigslist is a public forum. We just pulled them off, and we're a public forum. We're just reporting the story.
Right.
Well, he doesn't want to hear any of it. So they tape recorded the conversation they had with him, and then they posted the conversation on Gawker.com.
Awesome.
And these are some clips from their conversation with him.
These photos are mines, right? I posted it on Craigslist probably 3 days ago. I went to the website. It has my post and people write comments making fun of my pictures. Some guy that posted, you know what I mean? He wrote funny things about me. And the thing is that he didn't ask me permission. That's the first thing. The second thing is I could press charges on him because that's fraud.
What?
Okay. That's fraud. I'm not sure he's a lawyer, but I don't know how that's fraud.
I posted it, and that's fraud.
Those photos is mine.
Those photos are mine. I
push on, black man, push on.
I mean, it's like if I take your picture of you naked and, you know, put it on a website, that's fraud right there. You know, I get girls pretty much. You know, I'm a young dude. I do what I do. I'm a producer. But my whole...
I'm a producer.
Oh, this guy
is gold. Produces photos of him being a douchebag. It's the only thing
wow.
he's produced.
It's the same as taking naked pictures of you and putting them up.
The whole problem is it's not because of that. It's because why would somebody take my pictures without my permission? It's like taking your... Social Security and using it without your permission.
Nope. It's not just like that.
It's not like using your Social Security number at all.
Really doesn't have anything to do with that.
And then people are joking on me. You see the comments. What girl wrote a comment there that is saying, oh, you know, he's a pretty guy, but they say he lives with his mommy. He got 600. What the f***? That's embarrassing. What happens if I walk in the sheets and they say, oh, look at that guy. That all he has. So come on, man. Like, that's... That's not cool. Like, I would punch the f*** out whoever did this, and I would f*** him up because you don't do that.
That's battery, isn't it?
That's fraud. I think everything's fraud.
Everything's fraud, okay. Yeah. So his complaint is that Gawker put up the photos and people made fun of the photos.
Exposed him for the a-hole that he is.
Exactly.
And people are making fun of him, and rightfully so.
Absolutely.
He's one talented Negro.
Well,
what's going to happen is, before I do any illegal actions, they're going to take it off and say it never happened. But you know what? I'm 10 times smarter than these people because I'm going to record it right now. Absolutely. You see, it's not your fault, but I know how the business runs in New York. I know how it all runs, these people, how they do it. They play smart, but I'm way smarter. I'm going to call my lawyer, and this is going to be a problem.
He's 10 times smarter than the Gawker people.
That's what he says, and that's why he doesn't know he's being recorded.
This guy's not 10 times smarter than a brick.
Because I didn't like that. That's not funny.
Well,
it's a little funny.
He knows how business works in New York, though, Ralph. Come on.
He
knows
how it all works.
That's true.
He's a producer, for God's sakes.
So, Internet Roundup at the KRock.com, the Kevin DeBede section. That's where you can see the photos and hear the audio, and it's hilarious.
I'm unclear as to whose pictures they are.
These photos are mine!
So, David Hasselhoff called KRock all weekend.
Really?
David Hasselhoff.
Right.
It's like our dream come true.
It really is. And I'm not exactly sure why. I think he explains in the first call that his kids are out there. They think it's a great show and they want him to come, apparently.
Out where?
Coachella. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mike, tell me what you know about this before we start playing the tape.
That's right. He did not call the business line. He called the request line like anybody would to request a song or to give input to the station. He says, I'm David Hasselhoff, and I want to go to this here Coachella thing that I'm hearing so much about from my kids. It was as simple as that.
It was like Friday night at 10.
Around 10.
Is when he first called. So he couldn't have gotten out there in time for anything Friday. Really?
No.
By the time he called.
And the business office wouldn't have answered.
Right. So he calls McCabe.
Yes.
Who's on the air. He's a part-time DJ here at K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10 o'clock on Friday night, there's not a lot of people here. And there's not really an extra stash of celebrity tickets just waiting for people to call and ask for. But this is Hasselhoff calling Friday night late.
Yeah, hi. This is David Hasselhoff. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing, David Hasselhoff?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Listen, my kids are down at your Coachella Festival, and they're telling me it's awesome. And I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there. Who would I talk to and who do I go through?
Well, if you go to the website, krock.com.
Well, how do I know that, but I'm going to need VIP tickets because I'm not going to be able to hang out.
Well, dude, you are, no one hassles the Hoff, so you'd probably just get them.
He can't hang out in the crowd.
No.
Kevin, you've gone to how many Coachellas? How many way bigger celebrities just walk
way
around?
Bigger.
Just walk around at Coachella as if nothing, not a problem.
Way bigger.
Right?
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous, the people that go out there. And no one really bothers anyone, but Hasselhoff may not know that.
He needs VIP.
He needs VIP.
Come on.
But what I like about
McCabe, and he needs them for free, and he needs them last minute,
yeah,
too,
right
by the way.
Now.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there... Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
Tonight, meet me at 1 a.m., and I'll be out in front, and I'll just hand them off to you as you drive by.
Doesn't he know there's one person here?
He doesn't.
There's one person.
Obviously. And that one person doesn't have any access to extra tickets.
No.
So I don't know exactly what he's expecting.
I got a couple of girls, and we're just going to drive down tonight.
Oh.
Well, where do you get them?
Well, let me check.
Okay. All in all, it's just another break in the wall.
Yeah.
Is that him getting excited about maybe seeing Roger Waters Sunday night? Is that what he's thinking?
Yeah. I would think so, but I don't think he understands, like, what it is, or maybe that's not till Sunday. I don't know. He's just bizarre.
The magic of this whole ordeal, is that he has the hubris to believe that this is somehow plausible. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just call radio saying and there's tickets waiting for you at the last second, and it's no big deal.
And however many you want, by the way.
Yeah.
I got a couple of girls with me.
I'm having dinner. Yo, I'm having a steak right now. I got some ladies with me. I need tickets. Let's do this. And it's just the whole thing's
VIP
very believable.
VIP and parking, too, please.
Where do I get them? That's what he wants. Where do I get them?
It's not like, I know I'm calling last second, and I totally apologize for this, but, I mean, at least you could start that. Wouldn't it help, because we don't have tickets, but at least he could have started it that way. So then he calls back.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
He's asking the part-time DJ on the air.
Yes.
That's question A, and the answer to that, by the way, is a resounding no. There's no rooms out there whatsoever. They've been gone for months.
No, but K-Rock DJs are concierge, usually, here in Los Angeles. People know that.
I don't know.
So then I guess he starts calling back on Saturday afternoon, and I guess he called back on Sunday. He was calling the request line all weekend long.
Major fan of K-Rock.
And we are a major fan of Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. I'm still Knight Rider to everybody, even though...
Yeah, he's not thrilled with that.
Yeah, I heard
McCabe's
that.
McCabe's like, what do you want me to say? You're a major fan of K-Rock.
There's a new Knight Rider. I'm still... Coche Fantastico. Even tonight when they towed my car, they said, Coche Fantastico.
They towed your car?
Yeah, I told the guy, I went to pick up my car. He goes, Michael, I said, don't give me that Michael shit. You towed my car. And I said, at a cat animal hospital. I said, my cat's dead in the back.
Four-day passes?
Yeah. And I'd be happy to do whatever. I'd go on the air or, do whatever you guys want me to do.
This is funny. This is his offer now. He'll pay for him by getting up on stage and wowing the crowd.
I'd love to, I'll introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
Yes.
They were playing. That would be cool if they were out there this year. Turns out that was last year.
I'll just go on stage and go, The Hoff! K-Rock, The Hoff! Come on, that's worth some tickets.
That is worth some tickets.
Poor Casey.
He's going to get on stage and yell, The Hoff. That's worth some tickets.
Sure.
Where are you? Where is your office?
ESP?
Was he drinking at all, do you guys think, maybe? Or was this just the Hoff and his exuberance?
It doesn't sound like it yet. Like, he's not smashed yet, at least.
But I'm sure he's been drinking.
I imagine.
Because that guy can hold his alcohol until he hits a certain point.
And he was out drinking with girls on Friday night when he first made his call. I can't believe he'd be out at a restaurant at Friday night at 10 o'clock and not be boozing.
Listen, I invented the Hoff. I have my own T-shirt line. Don't hassle the Hoff. I brought back Knight Rider.
That's his, he's trying to give him reasons
to sell him?
Yeah, why he should give him tickets.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert,
Yeah, it's 4.2 miles.
He's done no research.
You take the 111. how is this guy supposed to know any of these answers? Any of them? It's ridiculous.
I want to go back and do Viva Hoff Vegas.
That's what he was talking about, being in that play, the producers.
Okay, doesn't he sound a little...
Now he's starting to
more, a little bit, as it gets later.
I'd like to go back and call it Viva Las Vegas.
some kind of funny, cool, Rat Pack show. It's pretty easy to pull that stuff off now, because I got good... I got a
nice reputation when I was in Vegas. It got good reviews, and people liked having me there. And I actually really enjoyed being there.
Well, the category is people who annoy you.
Hey, thanks for sharing.
This is life story. Right. Now. You can just keep them on the phone for hours.
And when did the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Okay, now it sounds to me like he's having a few more.
Sounds like Dick Clark.
When does this stuff afternoon get going?
I've got to stop listening to K-Rock, too.
Hey, listen, anytime you want me to come on and say something, just you know, and if you want to say on the air, I've been on the phone with David Hasselhoff all night. You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
So just tell him that the Hoff loves to rock, and that'll make everything okay.
Now, by Sunday, that was Sunday, right?
Sunday, he had actually gotten to Coachella.
He got on stage.
And he called Casey back.
He did.
He was like, I'll watch in Dwight Yoakam.
He was on stage with Dwight Yoakam was on.
How did he get the tickets?
I don't know.
He went through some other avenue.
I think he called every possible place. Maybe he got them from a ticket scalper or something the last second.
Well, it could have been.
We like to make fun because he does think of himself a lot grander a star than he is. But truth be told, if he did show up at Coachella, I'm sure he probably could get in. You know, he is David Hasselhoff. Just for comedy factor alone, I'm sure the people at the gates are like, go in, dude.
I mean, maybe if he just drove out there and somebody from K-Rock heard he was out there, they have a good sense of humor. They know letting him in would be magic.
Sure. Yeah.
So he could have. But he called all weekend long.
Oh, that's David Hasselhoff.
He called about, I'd say about 11:45 Saturday night, and I picked up. And he goes, yeah, Casey, it's Hoff. And I'm like, hold on, sir. And I hit record on the machine.
Right.
And I said, excuse me, hello, who is this? And he's like, yeah, it's Hassel. What's up, Casey? I'm like, it's not Casey. This is Mike. Where's Casey? I'm sorry, he's not here right now. He's gone home. Well, I'll call him on his cell phone. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
I was so mad because I thought I was going to have this long conversation with him like Casey had. But
he has a cell phone now. Yeah.
Poor Casey was at home. Hasselhoff's call him at home.
Yeah. He's going to drunk dial him for the rest of his life.
You know how far it is from those fans in the desert?
Is there an Enterprise rent-a-car open?
Let's talk to Cliff real quick.
I would love to, but
they're not putting him on hold. Ah, there we go.
He's calling from Chino. Apparently, he was out there, had himself a Hoff sighting at Coachella, too. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, it's May.
Hello.
So you were at the Marriott, and the Hoff made it out there?
Yeah, I was at a golf tournament, and just turns out that it was Saturday afternoon. He was out, couldn't get a spot poolside, so he had to go up on this concrete patio. There it is, like 100 feet from the pool, the overflow. We put him out there.
So he drove all the way out there to sit by the pool?
Well, I guess he was out there. I'm hearing you guys talk about him going out there for Coachella, but
that's what he said. Yeah, we don't know.
My wife tells me, she says, oh yeah, David Hasselhoff's out here by the pool. And she said, but we couldn't get near the pool. It was too full. So they put him out there on the patio.
Excellent.
Yeah. Maybe he was waiting until the bands he liked were coming up later, or he's meeting his kids or something.
He's waiting for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's going to wait a long time.
Long weekend. Thank you for the call.
Wow. Hasselhoff.
That is hilarious.
That's great news. He's a big fan of ours. Not ours, but K-Rock.
Where are you guys? I'm a big fan.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:14. Running a little late, got to get into some commercials.
We got clips. We got plenty of clips to play here. Clips.
Actually, Ralph, I appreciate that you got a lot of work invested in this next feature, but we do need to take care of some business by congratulating Matt Yain from Irvine. He just won tickets for the K-Rock Miller Lite Inland Invasion 5 show Saturday, September 17th at the Hyundai Pavilion. Right now, Ralph, I'm going to name all the bands that are playing and all of the songs that they're going to be doing that day on stage.
No, we have some audio from television.
And we'll be right back with that.
From about 100...
hey.
Sorry.
From 1991.
Did a listener really send this in to you?
Kevin, being a listener, thank you, Leland, so much for giving me the heads up on this and sending me the DVD of Request Video from Channel 56, KDOC. Which, is that even on the air anymore, by the way, KDOC?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It was a local Orange County independent station at the time, and they used to run an afternoon request video show where callers would call in. You have a small studio audience, and occasionally, half a dozen times or so, Kevin and I were invited to be guest hosts of the show that day.
Well, if any more of these episodes exist out there?
No.
That you could please send me? I would appreciate it, because this one has whetted my appetite.
Before we hear it, I would like to just say as a disclaimer, we fully admit, especially at that point, that we were completely talentless boobs.
I will show you, point for point, how little has changed over the past 14 years. I will show you doing the same exact crap back then as you're doing now. That's my point.
We're still talentless boobs, is what you're saying.
I'm fine with that, too. Draw your own conclusions. I'm just saying.
I'm fine with that, too.
There's been so little change over the years, really, when you look at it.
All right. Here's the belt, Daddy. I'm going to bend over now.
Here's the show. It's Request Video. It's a Neanderthal version of sort of Total Request Live, where it's a cheesy set, and they show these videos, and they bring on these two radio yahoos to host the show, which apparently had a regular hot host named Gia DeSantis, who I remember watching.
Yes.
And she's off on assignment or something, so these two take over. And here's the thing. Kevin and Bean bring with them, wherever they go, any medium they explore, an incredible sense of lack of professionalism and just no idea how to do the job or carry it off, no polish, no attempt at trying to run smoothly. This is the very opening of the show, the first thing you see when you see Kevin and Bean on the screen.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
It's Request Video. Welcome to Channel 56. Kevin and Bean from the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KRQ. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
You couldn't...
There was one guy in the front that went...
You couldn't fit one more person in the studio today, have you noticed? Man, I'm telling you, when they hear down here in Anaheim that Kevin and Bean are coming, it's like Depeche Mode tickets are going on sale. There are so many people. Could we get a shot on three of the huge monster crowd? Look at that, huh?
Bean is now directing... Are we going to shout it?
Apparently not. Apparently just a one-camera deal here today.
All right. You're going to have to take our word for it. There are so many people there. It would blow you away.
It's
You didn't know how many cameras
there were about four people there. I don't know. I don't remember.
First thing, they're looking around at each other. Hey, we're on. That's how they start. And they're like, can we get a shot? No. They have no idea what's going on, how to orchestrate things, no control whatsoever.
We thought if it was a TV show, we could ask for a shot.
Two guys dropped down in the middle of the wilderness with a pack of matches and a canteen of water and asked to survive for a week. They just have no idea. Well, keep in mind also, this show is on in the afternoon. This is when the kiddies are getting home from school around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're watching the rock videos. They're sitting there with their soda pop and their snacks. And Bean, always knowing his audience, launches into some very topical Judge Clarence Thomas comedy about the confirmation hearings back then of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and what Vice President at the time, Dan Quayle, was thinking during the votes.
Really?
I kid you not.
We, have you heard Judge Thomas was confirmed? We just saw that on the news. And you know the guy who really is suffering from all this is we were watching as they were calling the vote, and Vice President Dan Quayle, who works, what, 1 or 2 days a year? Pretty much Dan Quayle does two things for a living. One is in case there's a tie vote in the Senate, he votes. And two, he sits around praying for George Bush to have another heart attack. Those are the two things he does. And Dan's sitting there as they're calling the vote, and it's looking close. It's like 35-34, 36-35, and he's sitting there going, yes, yes, yes.
He's hoping for a tie so he can vote.
He thought he'd get a chance to work 1 second of the year, but no, it didn't work out that way. But that's the latest on that. Just so in case you're tuning into this show for news, we thought we should tell you that.
We'd take care of you right up front.
We have a lot to do today.
Wow.
Yeah, well, get to it. Thanks for that info, Bean. It's the same goddamn bit. Same goddamn thing. Bean comes on with some lame-ass story from C-SPAN that no one's watched. And you know, there's some 13-year-old pimply-faced kid in Orange County going, what the F? I'm here to see Nirvana. What is this a-hole talking about? Dan Quayle, how he's feeling as the boat's coming in. Blow me.
But we had a lot to get to.
Leave the brother alone. Even if he did do it, so what? It happened.
Thank
Let
you. Thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that.
You had a lot
that.
To get to, so you could take 8 minutes out and talk about the Clarence Thomas hearings.
I don't remember this tape at all. That won't surprise you, but I can only imagine that it was a very hot news topic at the
not
time.
Not on Request Video!
Yeah, maybe
it was.
Maybe
we
not.
Took three calls in a row from 14-year-olds, and they wanted to know.
Really? What do you think about the Coke can thing? Think there was really a pube on there? So, anyway, I guess you guys were watching the commercials in between segments there while you were on television, because they had this thing for, this is quintessential Kevin, it's a 1-900 number for a psychic, right? That's the last commercial before they come back live into the studio, and here's what Kevin thought about that commercial.
Hey, by the way, those 900 love numbers are just awesome, aren't they?
We love those.
What the hell was that?
It was a psychic line, first of all.
Hey, the 900 love numbers. We love them.
I'm pretty sure I was drunk.
It is impossible to overstate just how bad that sucks.
All right, now, we really do have to take a break. So,
I got so
you're done with tape, though.
No,
so that's it, though, right?
More,
that's all you,
right?
That's all you have.
Oh. That gives us a feel for what it was.
Oh, no, you haven't even touched a feel yet.
All right.
We haven't copped a feel.
We'll take a break and come back in the morning. This is fun, isn't it?
Oh,
good
yes,
times.
Sure is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:29. I would like to point out that we did get banned from KDOC. They would never let us on the premises again because Bean felt the need to say that he wanted to have sex with Debbie Boone at some point.
Who's a pop singer from the 70s.
Sure.
And light up my life.
Her dad owned the station, so that was it. We were banned.
Very religious dude, that Pat Boone, by the way.
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Bean? That is dad on the station?
Well, sure.
Of course.
Just
being pushing buttons.
Oh, of course.
But didn't I do the audience a favor by getting us banned? Because this tape that we're hearing of us from 1991 hosting a show called Request Video on Channel 56 down in Anaheim is, believe me, as painful as it is for you, the K-Rock listener, to hear, imagine how it is for us.
No, I can't imagine it's any worse for you than it is for us. I feel for the people who had to watch it and listen to it. They're just getting audio now.
Dude, there's like 25 people watching that show.
Well, not by this point in the show. It's about halfway through. There's
12 people.
Yeah, it's about half that now. Sal Bean, knowing he's on television, decides he's going to start doing some visual comedy. And I hate to ruin the joke for you, but I have to explain it to you. He'll talk about, in this segment, Christmas coming up. And it's October, mind you. And he says, hey, I got the Christmas issue of Rolling Stone magazine. And it had Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead on the cover.
Right.
And he's got a big picture of Santa Claus and the cover of Rolling Stone. And he keeps showing it in the camera, comparing the two, saying, look, Santa Claus is on Rolling Stone. That's the joke.
Because Jerry Garcia looks like a fat
Santa.
Has
a white beard.
Sure.
That's the joke. And you will hear it do just as well on the show as here in the studio when I explained it.
We're going to take a call here in a minute, too. Have you got any Christmas stuff in the mail yet?
No, it's October.
I know it is, but look what I got. The Christmas issue of Rolling Stone.
Already
which seems
out.
A little odd, I know, but...
This is me doing comedy for
you. You tell me. Is it the Christmas issue of Rolling Stone or not? An incredible simulation? No, I don't think so. Jerry Garcia is Santa Claus. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that in because it is October, and please, we urge you again, kill it with the whole Christmas junk. You know what we're saying?
We're begging you.
All right, let's take that call, shall we?
Oh, what's that smell? Oh, it's that bit. It's just laying there dying on stage.
Oh, is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
Let's take that call.
And by the way, those calls were all high-quality calls.
12-year-olds waiting for more Clarence Thomas updates. That's who was calling in.
I missed your Clarence Thomas chunk. Can you get into that again?
So we go to commercial, and Kevin comes out of commercial with some hilarious comedy.
Hi, welcome back to the Adventures of Mark and Brian. No, it's just a joke. I'm Kevin. This is Dean. We do the morning show from 106.7 K-Rock.
Because that was a show.
That was just a joke, Kevin said.
That they were doing.
In case anybody really thinks they're Mark and Brian. No, no, that was just a joke.
By the way, if you have to say that was just a joke, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's the first sign of something that wasn't funny.
That's a way to beg for laughs is what that is.
Yeah. If you don't know if the audience is going to know whether it's a joke or not, come over and cut it out of your routine.
Let me make a note of that.
Yeah, it was pretty strong. During this segment, you guys are apparently going to Scotland. At this point on the radio show, you're going
We were going to go look for the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bean had a reputation for getting hurt when you guys would travel.
Bean gets hurt every time we go anywhere. Still does.
So you guys were raffling off his body parts. Which one was going to get hurt?
Oh, yeah, that's right. People would call in, and they would pick a body part.
I'll take the left arm or whatever.
Yeah. Later, we were going to pay them off when he got hurt.
They won Oingo Boingo tickets if they were right. So there's this big cutout, cardboard cutout of Bean.
Right.
Which, oddly enough, is sort of a precursor to how we take pictures with him now.
Sure.
Right.
And you were holding it at the time, pointing the different body parts, and then you get tired of holding it, so you hand it to Bean.
Do you want to hold yourself? Because, frankly, I'm not...
Look, I'm tired of holding myself. I've been single for so long.
Okay.
You'll get that in about 5 minutes. Oh, tired of holding himself. I get it now.
Wow. These are the jokes. I don't dance. I always love the comedian that says the joke, and then no one laughs, and they go, you'll get it in about 5 minutes.
Right.
As if that's
it's your
the problem.
Fault. It's your fault you're not laughing.
Because that's high-quality comedy.
I got to tell you, a little of that guy goes a long way.
Well, okay.
Are we done?
Finally, you guys start playing some videos. And the producer starts yelling at you, too, because you're not doing it properly.
But hard to believe.
How do you play videos properly?
That's what I would like to know. She starts screaming at you, just read it. Just read the cue cards. And at the end, Bean once again shows that he has his finger on the pulse of pop culture. How he has just vision to see the great talents that are around you at the time that you guys recorded this.
Shall we get to the video? This video is next, Claudia? After the break?
Speak up,
this
buddy.
This video is
speak,
now.
Talk.
Now.
Talk now. No, the next is it coming?
Read it.
Just read it. Metallica, Enter Sandman for Robert in Moreno Valley. Plus, The Vandals, Pizza Train for Jim in Orange. And?
Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit for Peter in Fullerton.
That's
Can you tell that we're reading?
That's a bad title for a song. We'll be right back. It's KDOC.
Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's a bad title for a song. You're right. That band's never going anywhere.
Nothing ever came to them, right?
That song's going to drop right off the map. What a horrible title for a song.
Let's go to these losers.
That was maybe the best song of all time.
What a piece of crap that is. I think it's been number one on every rock list ever, the greatest rock songs ever. That's a horrible title for a song. Those guys will never make it.
That is classic.
How are we done?
I could go on and on, but I think we'll just leave it at
that.
Because I can't take anymore. I'm laughing too hard.
Why do you enjoy seeing us cry, Ralph? What is it in you that makes you so happy that we're so sad right now?
Just naturally mean, I guess.
Wait, are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the professionalism these two
yes, we are.
Constantly display.
Well, now that we're depressed heading into the weekend, here's Ralph with all the showbiz news. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, I got to cut my own time a little bit. I didn't get a chance to play this, but this is another clip of Bean knowing his audience. This is Bean doing his chunk, his comedy chunk on the Reverend Jimmy Swaggart and the fact that Jimmy Swaggart slept with a prostitute.
Listen, I've said from the very beginning that Bean was born 75 years old. He's always...
These are the things that he's thinking about.
And it never... People his age, never. He's been 75-year-old since the day he was born. So that's why he picks stuff like Jimmy Swaggart.
You know, this ministry thing has become a better idea since we found out some of the side effects. If you saw Jimmy Swaggart's story over the weekend.
See, we didn't know that you could do that as a minister.
But I thought you're a minister, you stay away from the picking up prostitutes. What were we thinking? Now we find out it's the way to go.
What's up with that? Who can have the prostitutes with the minister? That's the way to go.
There
you
is a little
stink.
Bit of that.
I just think I'm in a comedy club or something. And there's kids and I'm saying, "Where? Can I see the Metallica video, please? Less reverend talk."
Magic.
Bean, I reject you totally.
Poor Eminem. He's had.
There's one thing I know. It's that many people love living in Southern California.
Yeah.
But if they had to pick the one thing they don't like about it, what do you guys think it would be? What would be number one on that list of complaints about living in the Southland?
Ryan Seacrest.
Okay. Assuming he's number one, we'll have to take it for granted. Right. What's number two?
Well, I would have to say traffic.
Traffic.
Traffic is the answer.
Forever.
Yeah.
And that's why we have good news for you, because our mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, has a plan.
And the plan, the most aggressive, they say, since the 1980s, ranges from what seems so possible, synchronizing lights, to other challenges, finding dollars to finish the red line and the goal line, too. And facing serious debate, what could be a prototype for many places, turning Olympic and Pico, starting in West L.A. one way. What a difference, but at a price.
Now, there are always going to be the naysayers. There'll be opposition, obviously. But you can't say that you want to reduce traffic and not join in the effort.
And while they won't be finding much debate, more left turn signals, about 100 to be exact, before June. And then there's the Tiger Team concept. It's growing. It's moving to Sunset Boulevard, towing those cars, blocking some far right lanes at rush hour.
Okay.
Mayor Villaraigosa on the case. We got him on the phone with us right now on the world famous K-Rock, by the way. Oh, wow, look at that. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Mr. Mayor?
Hello?
Mayor Villaraigosa, Kevin and Bean here. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, barely. Yeah.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at the 405 by the 105 interchange. Sure, it's kind of crazy out here today. Sure, get out of the way.
What?
Can you turn down your radio or something? We can barely hear you, sir. What's going on?
Turn down the double dash bus. It's my theme song, okay? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is the bus your theme song?
Because I'm driving the bus, bitch. What do you think?
You're driving the bus?
Here's the part of the conversation that we didn't tell yet, and that's that to promote public transportation, Villaraigosa says he will ride a bus, subway, or light rail line at least once a week.
Not only am I riding it, I'm driving it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not immune from getting my hands dirty from taking care of this problem. It's a big problem, you know what I'm saying?
So you're driving the bus.
I thought the only thing I could do is handle things Mexican style.
Yeah.
And fit as many people as I can into a vehicle way too small for it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down in the back of the bus, okay? Keep your hands and arms inside.
All right. Wow, that's freaky that the mayor himself is driving the bus. Now, how many people do you have on that ride right now, Mr. Mayor?
As of right now, let me see. I carried a 245. hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, on your right-hand side, you will see Venice Beach. If you have your Dickies or your Levi's, prepare to jump in the ocean. It's a famous secret in Southern California. Thank you.
I'm also
a tour bus.
You're a tour guide,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, like I said, I got to clean this place up. I mean, get as many people off the road as possible. You know. Yeah. Quiet down, lamb.
That sounds like a sheep.
Yeah, I said lamb, but either way.
Why is there one on the bus?
Hold on. I see a fine hyena next to me. I'm going to hit my switches. They don't know where I'm coming from. Pancake, yeah, make it bounce.
You're making a bus bounce?
Yeah, I got a fly. It's a hydros. I got spokes. Wow. It's got a greater mural on the side. It's great. Okay, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you will see on your right-hand side, Universal City Nissan. No credit, no citizenship necessary to buy a new Maxima today, Jack.
Wow.
Public service right
Did you
there.
Just shoot a weapon?
That's right.
You shot a weapon?
That's right. Hold on. I'm working as an active police officer as well. Pull over to the right-hand side of the road. You made an illegal right-hand turn.
You can't pull people.
No more turning for you.
You're actually killing motorists.
There's a wow. Keep your animals out of the aisle where I can't see them.
An elephant?
Yeah, I guess that's what that is.
What?
Hey, Omar, get the guy out of the elephant.
You didn't just shoot the elephant, did you?
No, I shot Omar.
Omar. Oh, okay, that's good.
I'm just saying we don't have time. We're already running a little
Stop
late.
Talking. We've got nothing but time. It's 6:08 on the Kevin DeBede Show, 106.7 KRQ. Don't forget, details on – are we allowed to say the name of the thing?
Yep.
Okay, details on the K-Rock Creep Show a little over 1 hour from right now. We'll tell you all about it, how you can win your tickets and the whole deal. I think you're going to be very pleased just in time for Halloween. It's Monday morning. We have a little bit of unfinished business from Friday's show. We were very jam-packed on Friday. We didn't have a chance to really address this. But a new low has been reached on the Kevin DeBede program.
Look,
well, we try so hard to get these big-time celebrities on the show, Kevin. And then to have to worry about you running them off forever.
What's
going on?
Look.
What are you doing?
Look.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
At least Sean Penn is naturally chatty and tends to do a lot of press and radio interviews.
Yeah, and he ad-libs a lot when he gets into that mode of being funny, man. There's just no stopping him.
Oh, wait a minute. He rarely talks to yahoos like us.
That's not him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's the thing, and we do the best we can with the guests that we're lucky enough to get on this program. But
listen, he shouldn't come on our show and talk about a comedy movie unless he wants to be funny.
Kevin, it's not a comedy movie. Yeah. It's a tragic, sad story about a guy who died. It's not comedy.
Oh.
So we try to do a little bit of research before the guests come on so that we know what their sensibility is. I mean, you're not going to have the same line of questioning for every guest. There's some guys who are just wacky and you can do anything with, talk about anything. Then there are other guys that you kind of handle with kid gloves a little bit. And Sean Penn, certainly, Kevin, you know, you're media savvy enough to know that his reputation has preceded him. You know what you're getting when it's Sean Penn, and it's not a barrel of monkeys, right?
This guy would regularly, as a young man, punch photographers out
for
impinging on his personal space and trying to take his photograph.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a barrel of laughs. I did know that going in. Yeah.
Okay, so then let's play the clip from the interview with Sean Penn, Academy Award-winning actor Sean Penn, directing the new film Into the Wild. And let's see if the listeners who hear this can figure out where the interview went horribly wrong. Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and Ben Spicoli. It's changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No.
But I did. It did lead me into my next question, which is a guy who has.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Now, here's the thing.
Yes, what's the thing, Kevin?
When that stupid joke came to my mind, every red flag in me went off. Every single one. Don't say this. It's going to be a disaster. He doesn't have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a serious movie. Right. He hasn't been Spicoli in 20 years. All of it went off in my head. He's not going to like it. And my mouth just has a mind of its own. I'm sorry. It just, I couldn't, I knew it was bad. I just couldn't keep it in.
Has a mind of its own?
It was like the mind for my rest of my body was going, no, 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 no. But my mouth said, all right, let's blurt it out. This is a good plan. Knowing it was bad, I could not keep it in.
But at least it was also awkward, didn't quite fit into the conversation. At least it wasn't really a joke that came easily. You really had to force the wildly inappropriate thing into the...
Bean said, did you ever consider playing the role?
Right.
So that's that. Now we're talking about Sean Penn playing a role.
But he said no.
Right.
You said,
once he said no, how does that mean you could
if you
the
had
whole
played it?
Movie and make it a comedy, and then you could have been Spicoli in it.
When you watch like Fox Sports West, they have like the 100 greatest hockey goals.
Yeah.
You never just show the goal. They never just show the slap shot. They got to show like a couple passes leading up.
Yes.
That's what the best part about this is. You hear Bean setting up something totally non-related, and Kevin just comes with the knockout punch.
Apparently, he was determined to bring up the Spicoli game regardless of how he shoehorned it in.
You're such a liar. You totally
had to.
I did not. Although everything started moving in slow motion. As soon as Bean said, did you consider acting? Spicoli was the first thing that came to my mind. And then it was like, and my mind was going, no, 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 don't say it. Don't say it. Spicoli.
Must force in Spicoli joke.
I knew it would be a disaster. Why couldn't I stop?
We don't know, Kevin.
I was on the conversation, and all I tried to do, as you heard at the end of the tape, was ask the next question as fast as possible so Mr. Penn didn't hang up. Lisa, what was going through your mind as Kevin started talking about Fast Times at freaking Ridgemont High?
That's our Kevin. That's what I was thinking. That's our Kevin. He's the same one that brings up dead dads interviews with actors.
Here's what I like.
What's your dad think of that? And then when we find out his dad's dead, he goes, well, good.
But at least you could excuse that of not knowing if the guy's father's dead or not. That's almost reasonable.
But Kevin has an unerring instinct to find those places. Now, I don't know how he does.
Here's Lisa's the only person that I like in this room because she tried to laugh it off.
I did.
I don't know if you could hear, but from Sean Penn's end, it was a black hole of sound. There was nothing coming back. I mean, he wasn't chuckling.
No.
He didn't
he wasn't
give
even
me
going to validate with a response
a
in any way.
Courtesy laugh.
No.
He didn't even breathe. But here's Lisa May. Could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. Just changed the whole thing around. Thank you, Lisa. At least
you tried.
It's in Lisa's job description, by the
it
way.
Is.
She has to laugh at our stupid jokes.
Yeah. I don't know about your office, Ralph. You guys were listening to the show. What was it like in your office?
I don't know if you can hear it or not in that tape when you played it, but if you listen very carefully after Kevin says it, you hear a distinct thump. That's my head hitting the desk in the office where I just said, "Oh no!" And I just
could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. Just changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin. No,
yeah, but I did. I don't think you can hear the thump, but I slammed my head against the top of the desk. What in God's name is he thinking?
It's funny because that was the same scripture that was going through my mind.
Well, then you stop. I couldn't say anything.
I couldn't. It was
what
like
do you teach your daughters. Oh, when the red light comes, just run across the street. Run as fast as you can as the trucks go by.
You know how when you're just about to throw up, you can't help yourself. You go, I sure don't want to throw up. Don't want to throw up. It's involuntary. You cannot control it.
Usually you can run out of the room.
Yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah, if you had that,
I should have run out in the hallway and said, Spicoli!
Exactly. You just vomited Spicoli out into the bathroom.
Kevin, what response were you expecting from Sean Penn?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Did you think he was going to go,
no.
That's so funny.
I'm telling you, I knew it was a disaster before, during, and after I said it. I don't know. I knew it was going to be bad. And yet, my mouth formed those words, and it came out anyway. So that happened.
You might need to step down. You might need to take a good, long, hard look at yourself. Like the congressman who's soliciting gay sex in the bathroom for the good of the party.
Hey, I just had a wide stance.
You might just have to step down. Just abdicate.
Maybe you guys should warn me the next guest that comes up that's super serious, and I'll just kind of pull back.
Sure, that'll
yeah, that's
happen.
True. You didn't know.
That'll work.
It's your defense. You didn't know.
Yeah.
Surly Sean Penn talking about a death movie would have been a serious conversation. How could you have known?
Hey, Kevin!
Thank you.
Woo-hoo! For Kevin!
Thank you.
All right, Kev.